Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Slow down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along, this is straight off the press. The remix, fresh with no prior song. Whoa. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. Here can't be beat, the clash with me. Better leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive and motivational strategies. Successful guests promote self mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
And greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. Peace and greetings to you guys out there, and thank you so much for joining me here live in the forum tonight. Welcome to The Remix, everyone. Tonight it is, wow, March the 2nd, 2014. And, of course, you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to all of you out there. I see you guys all getting yourselves filled up on the phone lines as well as in the chat room as well. I do want to give out that number if you want to call in. You are certainly free to do that. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call, and that's going to get you locked into The Remix. Once you get yourself locked into The Remix, all you have to do is get on the phone lines and you can listen. You can also listen by Skyping in. That's a great way for you to come on over and join us in the forum and Skype in and listen in on The Remix. If you're calling from a foreign country or calling from another country, I should say, definitely not foreign, but if you're calling from another country outside of the U.S. and you want to come on over and join us, it's simple. Dial the U.S. country code, and then after you dial the U.S. country code, dial 646-652-2711, and that's going to get you locked in. Or you can come over to The Remix radio page, and you can Skype and Skype yourself in, and that's going to get you locked in to The Remix, and you'll be able to come on in and join us here in the platform right here with The Remix family. Now, if you want to come on over and join us in chat, I see you guys getting yourself situated in the chat room as well. Let me go ahead and give you some cosmic directions so you can find your way over and come on over and chat. And to do that, you just simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix, all one word. And that's going to get you locked in. If you're a guest and you're joining us here for the very first time, let me be the first to say welcome. Welcome to The Remix. And all you have to do as a guest is to click the link at the very bottom that says sign up. And once you click the link at the very bottom that says sign up and tell us who you are, you can come in the chat room and you can chat along with The Remix family. I'm in the chat room and all of The Remix family is here in the chat room as well. So however you choose to come on over and join us in the platform, we certainly welcome you here tonight. I want to take care of some housekeeping things before we get into the share tonight. And it really is an honor for me to share this with you guys this evening. Tonight, we're going to be talking with the ancestors tonight. And not just any ancestor. We're going to be talking to, quite a few special ancestors, even though they all are. But I really just have some beautiful, amazing information to share with you tonight. And lots of love, as always. So I want to just start out by saying it's Sunday night, and many of you over the course of this week and this weekend have purchased the Know Your Magic Oracle deck. And you know, Sunday night, the orders get ready to get wrapped up. We get ready to send them out into the cosmos so that deck can be made specifically for you. And so that is being worked on right now. If you want to know more about the Know Your Magic Oracle deck, because this is a perfect time for you to get that, check out the show notes here. And it's a couple of ways that you can do that. You can also download the Remix app if you have access to the Google Market on any Android device. So any smartphone or smart device that has the Google applications where you can get to the Android Market, you can download the Remix app. And in the Remix app, it will connect you and be able to connect you to all things Remix, all of the things Remix. You'll be able to get there. Send an email to me. You'll be able to go to the Know Your Magic line. You'll be able to see all of my tweets on Twitter. You'll be able to connect with me on Facebook. You'll be able to do all kinds of things. And most importantly, it will keep you locked in right here to the Remix. And you can listen to all of the Remix shows because the shows are on demand. And there are years and years and years of things. So many great and amazing, wonderful people have touched down on this platform and been able to propel themselves all over the planet by coming here in this very, very sacred space called the Remix. And so I want you guys to go back and download and listen. Brothers and sisters from all over the world and all walks of life, all schools of thought have all settled in here for some amazing, amazing work to be done. So, peace and greetings, everyone. So glad to be here this evening. And also want to say thank you to everybody who purchased the Know Your Magic audio workbook, also something that can be purchased as well right here in the Remix. So peace and greetings to all of you. And so glad to have you join me here in the forum tonight. I also want to remind you to download, download, download. Why is that important? Because the Remix is available. We don't never sleep on the Remix, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we had the Reverend Goddess Charmaine. She came by and she shared some beautiful, amazing, heartfelt things with us and shared with us a lot about the work that she's doing showing up in the world here on Remix. If you did not get a chance to hear the show with the Reverend Goddess Charmaine, I definitely would invite you to go back on the Remix, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix, and download it. If you have iTunes, you can subscribe on iTunes. You can like it on iTunes and download it, and then you can listen that way. So beautiful. So download, download, download. That's going to be the major thing. So now, how's everybody doing in whatever part of the world you're in? I don't know about you guys, but where I am, it was 80 degrees yesterday and it's 23 degrees right now. Oh, talk about crazy. It is just some crazy energy out there. We're dealing with a lot of energy, with the moon phases changing, cycles changing, all kinds of things. And it's really bringing out some interesting energy in people. I know you guys have seen it. I know you have. Some real interesting energy in people. And for those of us who are in our work, it really is a place of peace and harmony for us, and really a place of just doing some beautiful reflecting and really just tapping into our inner world and not looking at everything from an external perspective. We are definitely sitting in the position of being sort of in that place of love, love within ourselves. You know, and it was so perfect for the love workshop. So many of you who attended the love workshop have sent your emails to myself. And, of course, you know, the love workshop was with myself and Brother Bilal from Bilal the Experience. And you guys sent us some amazing testimonies and confirmation of what you took away from the love seminar and the seven layers of affection. And it's just a beautiful thing, to really just hear how that was truly, truly divine and truly, truly helpful for you. And we've also received tons of information from you guys and emails from you guys wanting to purchase the download, and many of you have. So that is available. So don't think that if you weren't there, anything that I do, anything we do is timeless. Meaning it doesn't matter when you go back 20 years from now, 10 years from now, fast forward in the future, in the past, it is definitely timeless. And so it's available for you to download. Just email question, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, the number 4, blue, at gmail.com. Put love, and we will send you the details how you can get instant access to the Love Seminar, 7 Layers of Affection, and just begin to get into your magic in just a very divine and unique way. So I wanted to put that out there. I know the weather is changing. So much is changing and flip-flopping back and forth that's going on all around us. You know, while we stay in our space and continue to grow and move ourselves forward. In this particular month that we're in, we're coming upon the time that the world celebrates what they call Black History Month. And for those of us who really understand the true essence of Black, which is so powerful, which is so enlightening, which is so much full of love, which is so much full of growth, which is so much full of illumination, which is so much full of the universe. That's why Black matter, dark matter, we did a show on this a couple of years ago here on The Remix. I talked about it, of where all things exist, where it is infinite love and just amazing, amazingness is at, is the place that you can begin to go. So, you know, we celebrate who we are as people, as spiritual beings, absolutely every single day. We do that. We do. For those of us who are living all the parts, different parts of the world, we see it in our everyday life, in our everyday walk, what we're doing. But we do want to take some time for the rest of the world who may not be conscious to the fact that this celebration of melanin people is something that is celebrated every single second. In fact, it is really timeless because we can go so far back into time and see where this celebration has started and continued every day. You know, take it in your heart to join in as they gain their understanding of what some of us has always known. So just kind of wanted to put that out there. Welcome to The Remix, everyone. We're going to be talking tonight. We're going to be talking to the ancestors. And tonight's show is called The Ancestors, The Green Apple of Wisdom. We're going to be talking about a particular time in history. You can say that. A particular time of when some events were taking place. And so tonight I'm going to be doing some live, I guess you can call it channeling. Yeah, we can call it that. I don't know if that's the word for it, but this is so you can be able to understand what it is. Tonight, I'm going to be doing some live channeling. I'm going to be speaking to our ancestors and talking about an amazing sister, some fantastic badass brothers, just some people who decided to come together from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west to put together that is so fantastic. In fact, it is still one of the number one things that is driving all of this that we do here on the planet Earth, driving it into its existence. And we're really going to get down to the core of how this came to be. And just this story as it's unfolded in a way that has not been put out as of yet. So I'm excited about that. How about you guys? Can you get excited with me? Because the sister is here, the sister I'm going to be talking to, and her name is Nancy. We're going to call her Nancy right now, and I'm going to tell you Nancy's whole story, because this sister right here, boy, I've been taking notes. I've been doing every kind of thing. I've been taking notes, and I've been sitting at her feet like a little child. I am so humbled by her strength. I am so humbled by her love for her family, for her people, for humanity, for the world, and everything that she's done in her existence and still continue to do. And she's even reached out, she's told me, to many of you on the planet at this time. And I got a chance to see and kind of connect with a few people she's reached out to. And so they're listening in, too. So they're excited, like me, so that they can really see this confirmation come to them. And I was able to really communicate with a complete stranger who thought he woke up and just did a blog about something that came to him and felt like this needed to be told. And, you know, today, you know, almost about 10, 15 years later, you know, here I come out of the blue, go figure, to be able to give him and his family some sort of confirmation that he didn't lose his fucking mind when this happened. But she told me, and even some of you who are listening may have been reached out. She reached out to you, and she may even have spoken to you. Some of you are her relatives. Some of you are blood relatives in this physical reality to her, very close relatives that can relate to her. And so I'm excited. So one of the things I'm going to do, because I told her as we were getting ready to do this show, that we would go ahead and get this together. The other thing that I did is I spoke with quite a few of you today. I spoke with Sister Munya. I talked to Esther. We talked about the show, and we talked about some of the things. So I just want to thank you two sisters for really, really kind of supporting me today and just my craziness of kind of bringing this together. And definitely I want to say thank you to Brother Bilal, who always bring a nice sounding board to me and really kind of help me to understand all these things that are going on in the cosmos as well, so I can continue to get this information and how they're coming in and see sort of lighting the pathway of where this goes. So big love to Brother Bilal as well, too, for just being there to support. And all of you guys here who have showed up tonight in the remix to be a part of this, I want to also send a couple of shout-outs, because it was a lot of things that kind of went into this coming together. And the thing about it is, see, when we often talk about how spirit is speaking to you, but I really want to kind of get naked with you guys here and really just kind of bring you into Blue's world. And I want you to understand that when spirit is truly speaking to me, how this process goes, because I know many of you have this happen to you as well, too. And we have talked about it in the readings. We have talked about it right here on the remix. We have talked about it in Self-Invested in many different other places. But I want to share this with you. Last night, well, let me go back a couple of weeks. We're going to get ready to dance, so please, wherever you are, I want you to just get your behind ready to dance, because I want everybody to dance to this song. I've been talking to Nancy, and she's excited. She's excited to be here with me in the remix tonight. She's here. I've already went and found her and brought her here a couple of minutes early so she could be present at this moment. This is the first time that I'm doing this way. It doesn't mean that I will ever do it again, this way. But this is the first time. But I know that there's many more of our ancestors that I will be talking with. And so she really kind of helped me kind of craft the title of the show and really see where this component is going, talking with the ancestors. We talk to them all the time. I've done readings with you guys. And I've done reading with you guys before, and I've talked to your ancestors as well. But she really, you know, let me know how beautiful this is. And I really can't think of, you know, outside of my own personal ancestors that I've connected with and many of you guys' ancestors, a more beautiful way for this to be kicked off. you know, just to be kicked off. So I want to say thank you because a lot of pieces of puzzles came together. Do you guys remember the brother Jafar that came on that does the amazing art and also the photography? He's also Brother Bilal's brother. We did a show together with Feng Shui and artwork. Well, he also plays a role in this too because he sent some information to Brother which is also Brother Bilal. He sent some information to him, and then this morning when I was able to speak with Brother Bilal, me and him talked, and it was able to, you know, bring some understanding to where I am. So I want to tell you this because it was an unfolding process. It was an unfolding process that started almost about 2 weeks ago for me. And so, yeah. So let's ring the bell. That's for everyone who is self-invested. I want to send love out to all of you who are self-invested. Peace and love to everybody who's self-invested and all of the self-invested families and our newly welcomed self-invested family. I want to send love out to all the priestess tonight. I know you guys are out there listening and really just here with me. And so I'm truly thankful for that as well. And of course, to all of you I love so much in the Remix family that has truly taken the Remix to where it is. And it's just beautiful. It's just so beautiful to connect with all of you and just with your pure hearts and just your pure spirit. So this is what we're going to do because I've been telling Nancy about this. She kind of talked to me about our music today, and so I'll be asking her a couple of questions, and we'll be talking about that because she had some interesting things to say about our music, but this was one particular song that she was just very, very impressed with and really loved because it speaks to the essence and the core of everything that we're going to be talking about here tonight, talking with the ancestors, you know, and really just tapping into what I call the green apple of wisdom. And you'll get to find out more about that green apple of wisdom in just a moment. So here's what I want you guys to do. We're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue, of course, because we got to do that. Amazing day here for us. You know, it was cold outside, but inside it was so warm and the sun was shining. It was like being, you know, laying on the beach in the Bahamas and looking at the blue sea. I want to say welcome to all of our international listeners out there because I know you guys are listening from all over the world, and I definitely thank you for listening in tonight. We have listeners from China all the way going to Egypt, to Australia, to Brazil, to Amsterdam, to the UK, Canada, all over the world. So big shout out to everyone out there. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to listen to Baby Blue, and then I want you to get up. I'm going to kind of give you some energy because Nancy wants to see this. She wants to see this, and she's excited to see this happening right now.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue, and remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
You know, often when it comes to understanding a lot what happened, particularly those of us who have been here in the West, the story, because a lot of it was passed down from mouth to ear, as it was in ancient times, so a lot of the stories, a lot of the essence of how things unfolded and they became to be, that history is lost. We know, or it's been uncovered, or it's been misinterpreted, or it's been placed down. One of the things that I've been doing in my work and doing the readings, over 30,000 readings, and I just want to say thank you to everyone out there because you guys really helped me with this and really taking sort of this position or this place and taking it in a way that really speaks to my heart. It speaks to the essence of who I am and what I do. I consider myself to be like a spiritual historian. and recording in the records these all of this spiritual information. And through each one of you, there's so many things that can be learned when we get ready to get into a session. But I'm really about recording history that has not been put out, uncovering history that has not been told, telling stories of the future that have not unfolded, you know, bringing about that understanding of the past from a spiritual point of view, which is the essence of who we are as people, and really unfolding that story. Yeah, I like that, OT, a spiritual archaeologist. I like that. But in essence, that's what the work is about. So, Nancy, I asked her, a woman who grew up in the 1800s, the early 1800s, and you know, she had an amazing relationship with her husband. We're going to talk about him. And we're going to talk about their connection together and what they built together and really what their visions were. He's here as well, but like most brothers, you know, he recognized that this is definitely her story, her night, for us to talk to the ancestors, to speak to her. So that's what we're going to be doing. I want you to get out right now because I'm going to play this song, and I want us just collectively to shine this light to all of our ancestors all over the planet that has walked this planet and walked other planets, that is out there from here to the other side of the Milky Way, so we can raise the light and raise the frequency and shine it very bright for them, expressing who we truly are. So when you hear this song, I just want you to do whatever comes to you. That's it. And don't worry, me and Nancy, we're going to be right here watching. So let's get up and let's do it.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. By the way,
you guys, by Pharrell. What a beautiful, perfect way for us to begin off the show tonight as we talk with the ancestors, the green apple of wisdom. So beautiful. Oh, wow, you guys, that was amazing. That was amazing. Definitely our light was shining and it was out there all over, permeating as this huge energy center floating out there in the cosmos. And definitely divine confirmations from all over the planet and beyond that we definitely pushed our light out there. So I just want to thank you guys and welcome you here to the remix as we continue our discussion here tonight about talking with the ancestors. Okay, so here we go. We're going to continue to talk about this, and I'm going to try to put everything in perspective, but it definitely will be some energy, some things that you can research and you can begin to work with yourself, because all of us have the ability to speak to the ancestors. It's not just one or two people. It is our divine right for all of us to be able to connect with our family, connect with our loved ones, connect with those who have walked the planet like ourselves, and be able to communicate with them and talk to them. It definitely is a divine agreement and partnership that we all have in our oneness of growing up here on Earth. So now let's talk about Nancy. Nancy was born in the 1800s. And one of the things about her, she was actually born on August 18th, 1811. That's when she was born. She was born, and her family, she grew up in a very loving and caring family. She actually was a slave. And she was birthed into that process, and she was a slave at the particular time. So Nancy met a gentleman, a brother by the name of Peter. And Peter was a dark chocolate, you know, help me out, sisters, if you can understand what I'm talking about, a sexy chocolate brother, nice, tall, sexy chocolate brother that really had a very, very strong mind. And he was able to see visions. And Nancy knew that her life with him would be one that would forever change how we live on the planet, how people lived on the planet, and particularly when it came to African American people on the planet. And he would stay up with Nancy at night, and they would do, after they did all of their work, the brothers are funny, talking about that sounds like me. They would stay up late at night, and he would share these visions to her about them being able to be free and being able to provide for themselves, to take care of their family, and not be forced into a position of servitude, you know. And they had big dreams, like any couple who get together. They have amazing, wonderful dreams of building a beautiful life together, having an amazing family, and, you know, just having love together. And one of the things that ended up happening at the time, the slave owner that they were with wanted to make some money. And because he wanted to make some money, he had a very large property of slaves. He was going to sell some of the slaves. And I want you brothers to take heed to this, because some of you can be able to bear witness to it, to those queens, those amazing sisters who are in your life. And believe it or not, some of our brothers are better visionaries and clairvoyants than a lot of us sisters in a lot of cases. And he trusted his woman he was with. He trusted Nancy. And even though they were pretty young, he trusted her. He trusted her to be able to share his visions, and she trusted him to share her visions with him. And because of that trust, she was able to pick up where he left off. So let me explain what that means. And Nancy is you know, kind of telling me this as we go, you guys. So I will from time to time reference her because she's here listening. And by the way, still laughing about Happy and how you guys are over there dancing. And even some of you guys who somebody knocked over something dancing in their living room just now, and she's seen that. So that'll be confirmation to somebody out there. Some people were knocking over things. Some of you were in the kitchen. Some of you are at work and driving. Some of you are laying on the floor, sitting in your beds and your couches. She's seen it all. This amazing couple, one morning, they woke up very, very early in the morning. And they woke up very early in the morning. And he went to Nancy as they began to do their work where all the slaves were gathered together. And he told her, he said, today we're going to leave this place. He didn't know what was going to come that day. He had absolutely no idea that they were going to be sold, but he knew they were going to leave that day. Well, shortly thereafter, some of the help on the plantation where they were staying came to get them and quite a few others. And it was about four or five different men there who were looking to buy slaves. And they came from many different places. Some of them were from north, some of them were from the south, and some of them were from the west, and some of them were far out east, but they were from all over. And the men began to talk, and the plantation owner where Nancy and Peter were, because that's his name, his name is Peter, began to start to talk about who they thought would be best for who. And they could hear part of the conversation. And all of a sudden, Nancy whispered in Peter's ear and told him, we have to go west. Now, Peter, even though he'd been having these amazing, wonderful visions, at first, he did like most brothers. He wanted to say, no, I don't think it's the best place. He really wanted to be closer to where the rest of his family were, which would put him further south. He wanted to stay in the south, but he wanted to go to another plantation. But he also was open and he was willing to listen to those words from his divine queen, from Nancy. And Nancy said, we must go west. For your vision to come true, we got to go west. So this was about the two of them coming together, supporting each other and both of their visions and their dreams. Because Nancy also had that sight. She had that, what we call that psychic ability, that intuitiveness, that wisdom. She said, if those dreams that we've been up every single night talking about is going to come true, we have to go west. So when it became time for the plantation owner to put them up for sale, sure enough, the bid was coming in very, very high for a plantation owner that lived further south. And it looked like that's who they were going to be sold to. But then there was a break in between, and it wasn't Nancy and Peter's turn yet. So what they did is they waited for the right opportunity. They waited for the precise timing, and they seen their plantation owner talking to the gentleman who was coming from the west. And they approached him. And when they approached him, they began to speak to their plantation owner. And the gentleman looked at them, both of the two together. And then he told them, I'll take those two. So he took Nancy and Peter. He took them with him west. They actually went to California. Now, here's a real interesting thing about this, because this story goes on. It's so many things in here. But here's the real interesting thing, because Nancy's telling me, okay, I need to hurry up. I need to tell the story. So I'm going to talk a little faster here. So as they begin to go to California, and they begin to take this journey and go out to California, Peter started having more visions on their journey. And so he knew, even though in his heart at the first time he wanted to go south because he wanted to be closer to his family, he took the road and they went west. They went way out west. And at this time, not many people were going west. It was a very difficult journey. It was a very far journey, and not too many people. It was a lot of uncultivated land out there, and there were all kind of horrible stories coming from slaves who had been out west and things that was happening to them at that particular time. So as they continued their journey and they continued to go west and they made their journey out west, what happened shortly after they got there, the law in California was implemented and their slave owner had to set them free, had to let them go. Because Nancy and Peter was really what happened is California became a state. And at this particular time when California, this was shortly after they got there, California became a state. And its statehood included some new laws. And one of those laws that it included is it prohibited slavery. So Nancy and Peter were both forcefully freed by their owners. They were forcefully freed. They basically kicked them out. So they had nowhere to go. But they were, this was really Peter's vision, because he was having these visions of them being free and being able to take care of themselves and to do this. But one of the things that did sadden them is that they did have to leave their children behind. The little ones came with them, but the other children did not come with them. So their children were sold to different plantations in different places. And, you know, that was just heart-wrenching for both of them. So that became their entire mission, really to bring their family together. They didn't see this as impossible, not at all. They didn't. Even though people told them, that's going to be impossible to do. And they laughed at them. So what they did, Peter and Nancy, is now they had to take care of themselves. One of the things that was available for them in slavery, they definitely had a place to stay, they had food to eat, and they were getting compensated in other ways. Now there was nothing. It was just them. They were out in literally what we call the wild, wild west by themselves. So now, it was a lot of things going on, so I really want to kind of paint this picture for you guys so you can kind of get an understanding about everything that was happening at that time. It was a lot of uproar going on. The country was in an uproar. A lot of things was going on. There was the Civil War was happening at that particular time. The Indians was doing their things, our Native American brothers and sisters. It was all kinds of things going on at that particular time all over the country. States were separated. People were joining. People were trying to separate themselves. It was all kinds. There was different things going on with Mexico and different things of what we call America. It was all kinds of stuff going on. A lot of activities that was going on. And so one night, as Peter and Nancy would do, is they would stay up at night and they would just share their dreams. Not for any reasons of talking about what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. Their only concern was really to bring their family back together. That was it. Take care of themselves and be able to bring their family back together. And so one day Peter woke up and he told Nancy, he said, you know, I really see some beautiful things happening here for us. And he told her about all of the visions. He told her about him seeing them own all of this land. He told them her about everything that he's seen. And Nancy was able to see that vision for herself. So one day, the property where they were able to have a space at for the time being, Nancy used to cook. And she really, talk about a holistic sister. She was a holistic sister. And whenever she had any kind of money from some of the work, because Peter was kind of like a blacksmith. He could do a woodworker. He could work with wood. He could work with metals. And he was highly skilled, a highly skilled brother at that particular time. But his passion and his love was connecting with the earth, and it was gardening. It was really taking care of the land. That was really where his passion and his love was. And so they had found, you know, this plantation where they could work as freemen, and they could actually gather different fruits and vegetables. What they asked is that they, if he could be paid and compensated through the fruits and vegetables. So the plantation manager said, sure, if that's how you want me to pay you, I can pay you that way. And he would bring all of these amazing fruits and all of these amazing things home to Nancy, and it would make her smile. It would make her whole world light up. In fact, she loved it so much that she incorporated it into all of her foods and everything that she was doing. One particular day, she had very few outfits, but she would wash them. She would take apples. She would take green apples that Peter would bring her, and she would boil the green apples, and she would make pies out of the apples. She would take some of the juice from the boiled apples, and she would use it to wash her clothes with, to mix it and wash her clothes, and it would give it just a very divine scent. She would mix in other things too, as plums and lemons and oranges and all kinds of, oranges, and it was some other kind of plant that she would mix in as well. She would also take some flowers, and she would put rose petals in it, and strawberries, and just what was available at that particular time, and even wild daisies. And then she would sit it outside, and she would let it cool. She would take the fruit and use that in her food, and then she would just take a cup of that and mix it in when she was washing her clothes. So one day Nancy was out and about, and she was walking. They lived close by where one of the mines were, because at this particular time, a lot of mining was going on. It wasn't a big deal at this time, but there were people there looking for gold. They were looking for it. And so Nancy would go around, and she would walk amongst these men. And one day when she was walking amongst these men who was in a mine, working in the mine, one of the gentlemen stopped her, and he said, "What is that you're wearing?" And Nancy replied, "My clothes." And he said, "No, what is that smell? What is that unique smell? What is that?" And she said, "It's just my clothes." And Nancy said, he said, "Well, what do you do? Do you work?" And Nancy said, "Of course I work." She said, "What do you want me to do? I will cook for you. I will sew for you. I will do your washing, and I will take care of your clothes." So this gentleman, who was a white gentleman at the time, would bring his clothes from working in the mine, and it was filled with soot. It was filled with mud. It was filled with grime. It had the water on it, and these clothes were very foul-smelling. And Nancy would bring them home, and she would wash them. And she would sew up it, where any torn things were, and she would put them back together. Well, it only took one time for Nancy to do this. And once Nancy did this, and she took these things back, the miner went back, and all the men in the mine went crazy. "Who's taking care of your clothes? Who's doing it?" Now, when you start to look at history, see, this is why it's important that we really bring out this information. And I do consider myself as one of those who is the collector of this lost knowledge, this lost history for the planet, to bring this information out so we could understand the essence of how these things begin to be. And if you guys think about it, and it didn't dawn on me today until Nancy is tapping me and she said, this is why now you go in the grocery store and you see Tide. Tide has apples. Tide has the scent of all of these fruits and vegetables. And, you know, I wondered what would have made them put that in there, because it has already been done. This is what was done, and Nancy was the one who did this first. All Tide, Gain, all of the soaps, the dishwashing liquids, she used this to clean everything with. So now, the miner goes back, and he's talking to the other miners, and they are bombarding her with all of this, their clothes, and they want to, whatever this smell is, this freshness is, to give them a sense of light, because they were in so much of the darkness. Because when we stay in the mine, we are truly in the space of darkness. So going into those mines, searching, constantly being in a position of searching, it brings about a certain frequency with you. And so this formula that Nancy has put together and begin to mix together really helped them to stay in a place of harmony and to bring themselves into a place where they could focus, where they could see light where there was darkness. And they loved her. They absolutely loved Nancy. She had so much work. Now, here's the thing. So the first day she comes home, she has all these clothes, and Peter is like, what the hell? Where you get all this stuff from? And she's telling them, remember the miner. Now, they all want me to clean their clothes. They want me to make things, to cook things for them. They want me to do this. So Peter and Nancy sat down, and she said, I haven't told them I would charge them anything. And Peter said, because he was the one that really could see the vision. And they both sat down and talked about it. And Nancy said, I got it, Peter. I got it. I got it. I will tell them to pay me in gold. That they could just give me whatever gold they find, a little piece of the gold that they finding inside the mine. Now, I want you to understand, at this particular time, gold, they wasn't finding a whole lot of gold. Not at this time. So this would be, they may work, and they may come out with a little bucket or a little shank of gold. Most of what they were finding was pyrite. Now, for those of you who know your crystal magic, I want to throw that word out there, pyrite. Do we all know what pyrite is? Well, let me tell you, for those of you who have not heard, I know you, some of you guys do, but let me tell you about pyrite. Pyrite was not only something that was named fool's gold here in America, in the West, but see, pyrite is a significant gold that played a very ancient role, and we can go all the way back to ancient Kemet, to Egypt with pyrite, because pyrite is that gold vein that you see traveling through the lapis lazuli, the blue crystal that you see. And you see that gold line, you will see gold veins traveling through that lapis. So I want you to understand that even though that was in ancient time, pyrite was showing up here in the West in the 1800s. Now, what pyrite is in the West, because of their limited understanding, they called it fool's gold. And the reason they called it fool's gold is because they said, this ain't real gold. You mean to tell me we got excited, we digging, we doing all of this, and this ain't even real gold? This is some foolishness. This is fool's gold. But pyrite is very powerful. Matter of fact, back in the Mayan times, pyrite was used as a protection shield because it's a deflector. It's a protector. And it's also used as where you can begin to look inside of the mirror of the pyrite and see yourself in there. So it's a lot of mythology that goes along with the pyrite, and a lot of positive energy comes out of the pyrite. The pyrite only can show up next to the real thing. So I want you guys to check this out right here. Pyrite, when you find pyrite, you know that gold has to be close by. It has to be. Wherever there is pyrite, there is gold. You're not at the goal, but it's close by. So even in their misnomer of calling it fool's gold, they still did not have the greater understanding of what pyrite is. It is often called the stone of wisdom, because a lot of ancient wisdom is held inside the pyrite. That's why it's also connected to the lapis lazuli and a lot of the kings, queens, pharaohs, and gods and goddesses in ancient Kemet in Egypt wore that in their headdressing and on their jewelry. It was for that reason. Even in the Temple of Dimnar, you could go in there and see pyrite in there. You could see it in there. It also has a lot to do with the different energy portals on the planet that are here. So it has a lot of things to go along with it. So they were finding pyrite, but that's not what Nancy asked them to pay her with. She asked them to pay her with gold. So if I really say that so you guys can clearly get an understanding that she just wasn't out for money, because she knew at this particular time they wasn't really finding gold. They was finding pyrite. And so this way she could do her work and she could get her compensation, and she can definitely continue to do that. She could definitely continue to do her work and do what she loved doing. Okay, so they start paying her with gold. Matter of fact, it went from her washing to her cooking to her doing everything, till they started, even though there were other people doing this, they all wanted to come to Nancy. Within a very short period of time, Nancy had enough money in gold, in solid gold, that her and Peter was able to purchase over 88 acres of land. Did y'all hear me? 88 acres of land. They was buying up shit like it was crazy. They was buying it up. They soon became one of the most prominent families in the West. But interesting enough, you don't hear about them. You do not hear about Nancy or Peter. But I'm going to let you know that you do hear about them. But you just hear about them in a very unique way. Tonight, Nancy gets to tell her story. Tonight, and Peter, her whole family. So now, Peter, because he had such a love for gardening, Peter is walking this land. He's walking this land. He's getting an understanding of all of this acres of where they purchased land. He's walking this land. He's walking his land. And then all of a sudden, Nancy comes up to him and says, right there, I want you to put an apple tree. So Peter said, what? Right here, this is where the apple tree goes. She goes outside at night. Okay, Peter, over here, this is where the strawberry patch is going to go, Peter. And over here, we're going to make a vineyard over here, Peter. That's what we're going to do. So Nancy came out as women, as the feminine energy. We are the true gardeners. We are the true gardeners. And she's telling him, up, I want a lemon tree, Peter, over here. I want, Peter, I want oranges over here, limes over here. I want to put some grapes over here. We're going to let some wild daisies grow over here. We're going to put apples, strawberries. We are going to have red plums over here. We're going to put sugar plums over here. And this whole section turns into this amazing orchard of where they're planting. And she did it at night by the stars. She was able to go out and look up at the sky, and by the stars she was able to plant these particular plants so they could get the nourishment from the land of what they needed. And they say it was one of the most beautiful orchards that existed ever. Ever. So now, Nancy and Peter, as they continue to do their work and to do this work, they're still getting paid in gold. They're still getting paid in gold. They're still getting paid in gold. And Peter was a little older than Nancy, so they're kind of becoming a little up in age. So Peter sits down with Nancy, and he tells her his vision. Tells her his complete vision. He shares with her everything. This is what he's thinking. This is what's going to happen. And really begins to prepare her from him making his transition and letting her know that she has to continue the mission. She has to keep going. She has to continue. She has to carry on. And so Nancy is brokenhearted, because she has her son that's out there, and she's only hearing stories from others who are coming from other plantation owners who are now free slaves out in California, out in West, about her son. And she don't know, is he alive? Is he dead? What's happening to him? And every time someone comes near, it's that feeling is there. But she knew she had to continue. So Peter makes his transition, and Nancy continues her work, because like most of us, it's important to understand the man that you're in the relationship with, the man that you're with, that you know the essence of his intent. His actions may not always speak to that, but you gotta know the essence of his intent to carry that on. That's our responsibilities. And vice versa, if you're the woman or that has passed on, to know your woman's intent, the essence of her intent. Don't get so caught up in the physical of what they're saying and what they're doing. What was their true intent? And that's what you use to continuously keep you evolving and moving on and doing the work that you need to do. What's the true intent that this person had? Their love that they shared for you, for the family, for what their will was. What was that message? And this is so powerful, because a lot of times we don't know the intention of our mate. I'm not talking about the true intent of the person, because you can never get to that. I'm talking about the essence of what their dreams are, what their wishes are, what was in their heart for you guys to have your story together. What's that intent? What is that intent? Nancy understood Peter's intent. She understood it. She understood what he wanted. He wanted his son to experience that freedom that he was experiencing. He wanted his people to have a place to experience that. He wanted his grandchildren to be in a place that they all can experience that, and that they could sustain themselves. So that orchard, that beautiful, beautiful orchard that was built there, it would be everything that they needed to live off the land, to eat off the land, to be able to go outside and to go if they wanted a sugar plum, if they wanted a sun-kissed orange, if they wanted an apple, you know, if they wanted some lemons or some limes, it could be right there for them. And then he had his intent for his wife and for his family. So everything that Peter owned, he left to Nancy. He left it to his wife. He gave her, everything was passed on to her. So Nancy, understanding this intent and also understanding her intent. See, it's important that she knew what his intention is. Too many times we have people in our family who pass away and we carry so much guilt about things because we don't know their intent. So something as simple as selling granddaddy's car or selling grandma's house or giving away her favorite stuff, we beat ourselves up and think that we're doing something wrong or taking the money and using it for something, and we feel like we done cursed them, we feel like we done wronged them because we don't know their intent. Because if you understood the true essence of the intent, how could you not be in alignment with that? Nancy understood this. She understood what her man's intent was. And so the first thing she did, because we're talking about a whole lot of money here, she paid for her son and his wife and their children at the time to be bought out of slavery and then for them to travel to California. She did that. That's what she did. That's what her and Peter did for their family. So now finally, their son and his wife shows up. Nancy is in heaven. She is truly in heaven. And so she did what is a responsibility to us as parents to do. She made sure her children understood what their daddy intent was and what her intent was. Because she knew, even though she was a strong sister, she didn't know how much longer she was going to be around. She took the next lump sum of money and she purchased some more land. And on this particular land that she purchased, it included one of the gold mine mills on this land. Now, see, initially when Nancy was getting ready to go out west, she really didn't have fears, even though there were some horrible stories about going out west. She didn't really have those kind of fears about going out west because one of her mother's cousins had some family members that was out west. She didn't know where they were or how to get in contact with them, but they had their ways of communicating, and she knew eventually they would contact each other and they would find each other that was out there. So they have a son. Now, this gets real interesting, you guys. Their son that they had, his name was Andrew. That was the oldest boy. So now Andrew is there. He's there in the place with his mama, a place where his mama just would love for him to be, and his beautiful wife, and they had a whole bunch of babies. So it was a whole lot of intent that was happening, going on out there. It was a whole lot of intent going on. So her son comes along, and her son, their last name was Gooches. And their son's last name was Monroe. And her son, Andrew Monroe, Nancy made sure that her son had a large amount of money so that he could had enough nest egg to start procreating with his family. So he started buying up land. He started buying up different properties. He started doing everything that his parents had already put into place. He was now doing this for his family. So now, time is going on, and while this is still going on and everything is still happening, I don't want you guys to let me paint this as just a fairy tale story. It was a lot of troubling times that was happening at this particular time. Racial tension was high. It was crazy. They was doing all kinds of things, even though California had abolished what they called slavery, and it was against the law to have slaves. People were still trying to capture and put people into slavery. They were still trying to do all of these things that was going on. And even though this family was respected based on the work that the mother and the father did, and now the children were getting this respect from time, it still was a whole lot of mayhem and havoc and chaos going on all around them at the same time. So I want to talk about Nancy's cousin here because I think this is a beautiful place to bring him in. Nancy had a cousin that was out there. And Nancy's particular cousin that was out there, when she did try to track him down, because it was her cousin, her mother's cousin's son on her, you know how that go, mama's cousin, cousin's son, you know, it was a distant cousin, but they were related, sure enough. And so Andrew tried to track him down for his mom because she really wanted to find her family that was out there. And they tried to track him down. They wasn't able to find him. But they heard stories about him. And people was like, oh, you know, whenever you get to mentioning that name, people would start acting, you know, the brothers and sisters would start acting funny, like, oh, no, you know, we heard about him, but, he kind of out there. So, you know, Andrew was like, well, what you mean he out there? Where can we find him? I'm looking for this guy. I need to find him. This was kind of like the Wild Wild West for real, you guys. This was the Wild West. I mean, it was all kind of craziness going on. So anyway, he tracked him down, and he found a place. Check it out. There was a place, and this place, y'all want to know what this place was called? Wait a minute. Well, let me stop for a second. I'm going to tell you where this place is. But what was happening at that particular time, they did not want you, if you were not white, they didn't want you mining. Okay? It was fine when they were able to keep slaves, but now that they couldn't keep slaves, if you weren't a slave, you weren't allowed to just go outside, find a river, and get you a little bowl and start dipping for gold. Oh, hell no. And you black? You bet not start. Don't start. Now, keep in mind, people were coming from all over. People weren't just coming. They were coming from Portuguese. They were coming from China. They were coming from all over trying to get to this damn gold. Of course not Africa, because there was a lot of gold there. But they were coming from all over trying to find this gold. Nobody had found a large amount of it. But they were still coming from everywhere. So, if you were black and they caught you mining gold, they would kill you. Okay? That's your punishment. You're not finna go get no gold. Are you for real? We're not finna let you do this. You know? And so even though the law was against slavery, that certainly was not the mindset of the people there. So there was a group of brothers, as brothers do, and one of the brothers was actually Nancy's cousin. And, you know, he decided he was going to go find him some gold. Well, he actually wasn't looking for gold, but he was talking to a couple of people, and he let it be known that that's what he wanted to do, and he wanted to find a place where he could do it. So he got with a few brothers and said, check it out. I want to go mine some gold. And we're going to go find a place where we can do it, and we don't have to be worried about it. But when we get our place, how about we going to let anybody who want to come in and do what they want to do? We're not going to stop them. We're not going to say, if you're not black, you can't mine. We ain't going to say that. We're going to say, if you want to come and you want to mine, you can come and you can mine. So they climbed this huge-ass hill. They were looking. They were just looking. They wasn't even looking for gold. They was just out looking for their own space. And at the top of this mountain, they found a place to mine gold. So they kept it a secret for a while. Yeah, they kept it a secret. They didn't tell anybody. They were mining gold there. And so the brothers got together one night, and they said, what are we going to call this? Because you know eventually they're going to try to figure out where we are. So what are we going to call this place? And we're going to make sure that we protect this place. And we don't want, you know, if you ain't coming in peace, you ain't coming at all. Okay? So it always takes one brother, right? So this brother, which happens to be Nancy's cousin, she's telling me, this brother named Kinsley. Kinsley say, we gonna call this Nigger Hill. This is Nigga Hill, y'all. And we gonna protect this hill because this belong to the niggas. That's us. Okay? Y'all got it? So this place, and this is a real place, you guys. I'm not making this shit up. I verified everything Nancy is telling me. Nigga Hill is real. I was like, at first, this is okay, this is crazy, but Nigga Hill is real. So what they did is they made this place of Nigga Hill. Nigga Hill became a very prominent place. At one time, there was over 600 people there. That was on Nigga Hill. It was a beautiful place. The sun was shining. You're able to go up on Nigga Hill. You're able to mine. They had places where you could... Let me tell you about the mindset of Nigga Hill. Nigga Hill was a place that took care of you mentally, physically, and spiritually. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong perception of Nigga Hill. It wasn't just niggas on Nigga Hill. Nigga Hill let everybody come in. Yes, Nigga Hill is Negro Bar. Yes, Nigga Bar. Somebody in the chat room knows we're Negro Bar. So y'all California people know what I'm talking about. Let them know. Stand up. Nigga Hill is real. So there was all kinds of people. There were white people on Nigga Hill, Chinese people on Nigga Hill, Asian people on Nigga Hill, Portuguese people, Native American people. Everybody was allowed to go on Nigga Hill because they wanted to make a place that did not exclude them, and they didn't exclude anybody else. The only thing about Nigga Hill is you had to come in peace for real, because them brothers was holding it down up on Nigga Hill. And they would have a watch team that would sit out 24 hours a day, and they would watch from Nigga Hill. And anybody who was bringing their ass up Nigga Hill, check it out. Check it out. They was on it. They was on it. The battle was on. This is the battle they didn't tell you about in your history books. The battle on Nigga Hill. So it was a lot of fights. It was a lot of things going on because, again, people wanted to come in. They wanted to take over. They was like, nah. This is Nigga Hill. And if you come on Nigga Hill, then you have to come in peace. It was a lot of miners, people who were interested in mining, that would come in Nigga Hill. They, you know, one of the things about Nigga Hill, they didn't really care about what you did. As long as you was at peace, you could come in Nigga Hill. And they were rich. Y'all talk about building wealth and having money. Oh, these brothers and sisters and others and Asians and Portuguese and white folks and Chinese folks, these folks on Nigga Hill, they was rich. They wasn't on a hill for one reason. They was up on the hill in the big place for real. They was making money. So, of course, word gets around. Word gets around. So, you know, eventually the battle is going to come for Nigga Hill. But I want to hold you right there because an interesting thing happened. So you got Andrew running around looking for his family because this was a big part of his family intent. And while he's getting ready to take himself up on, you know, looking around, he stumbles across Nigga Hill. He's like, wait a minute, Nigga Hill? And he says, look, I'm looking for a relative. I'm looking for a cousin. What's his name? They say, man, I know who you're looking for. I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Kinsley. Now, make no mistake, Kinsley was a Methodist minister, but Kinsley was a brother that handled his damn business, too. Understand, Kinsley wasn't no junk. He wasn't no bitch-ass nigga. Kinsley handled his business. So Kinsley came stepping out. Who trying to holler at me? He said, man, check it out. My mama name is Nancy. You know Nancy, blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, my goodness, that's my cousin. He said, exactly. He said, you're his. Man, we related. Come on in, Nigga Hill, man. Have a seat, man. What you want to do? You want to go get some gold? What you want, man? So they chilling. They having a good time. They enjoying themselves. Andrew is happy. He's getting ready to take himself back home. And lo and behold, there's somebody else out there that's wandering around on Nigga Hill. So as Andrew is getting ready to leave Nigga Hill, he stumbles across what appears to be a white man. So, you know, back in them days, you have to kind of be a little caution, you know, about when you're running up on somebody in the Wild Wild West, you know, because if they start reaching for their pockets or reaching in their backpack, which we still know that today, if you're walking down the street and all of a sudden the brother is coming towards you and he starts reaching in his pocket or a sister reaching in her, you kind of hesitant like, okay, do I need to reach in my pocket? Like, what you reaching for? What you pulling out? So he runs into this other man, this white man. He's a little delirious because he's been out in the wilderness just kind of wandering around. And Andrew says, you know, you all right? So the guy starts rattling off some stuff to him. He says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm looking for something. He said, well, what you looking for? He tells him, never mind, never mind. He says, well, I, you know, my cousin, you know, he wanted the guys who started Nigga Hill. That's a great place. You can, as long as you have you peaceful, you can go up there and come on, I'll take you back. So Andrew takes him back and shows him the way to get back to Nigga Hill. He goes to Nigga Hill. He gets himself together and he says, I'm all right. So he starts to talk to Andrew and they start to communicate back and forth. And Andrew says to him, well, what's your name? He says, well, they call me James. He says, well, James, nice to meet you. They start to talk. They start to laugh. They actually spend some time together. He tells them about the town that he's living in. He tells them that he's a businessman. Andrew says, I'm a businessman, too. So he says, well, great. So, you know, Andrew was thinking in his mind, you know, he's pretty cool for a white guy. Like, he ain't really acting crazy. He ain't really tripping. This is pretty nice. He says, well, I may come by and check you out because I'm looking to buy, me and my business partner, we're looking to buy some land and buy some things in your area. So, of course, Andrew said, well, you know, my family, we own a whole bunch of land. We're the Monroes, you know. We're the Gooches. Or Gooches, or however you say it. We own a whole bunch of land. My mama owned a whole bunch of land, and, you know, my daddy passed away, and I got my family, and we owned a lot. If you need anything, look us up. Everybody in town knows us, and that was true. So now let's talk about James, because this is an interesting twist here. So James and his business partner are in the gold mining business, too. They had found this small place that had some small deposits of gold that they wanted to get. Now, I know Nancy is trying to tell me some other parts of the story that I got to tell you guys because this is significant and why this story must come out at this time and why she contacted me so that I can put this story out for all of us to know and to begin to understand and really utilize this for ourselves in our own personal walk in our lives at this time. So James and his business partner, they find a mine, and it has a little bit of gold. And so they have some miners working in the mine, him and his business partner. As they begin to start working in this one particular mine, they're finding gold, but not large deposits of gold. And as they're finding this gold and they're mining this particular gold, some people come up to James and they say to James, how did he know to find this particular, to buy this piece of land and that gold was here? Well, James was kind of interesting. I want to tell you guys the story about James. And for all of you who are quick Googlers out there, I have no problem with giving you his full name. I'm going to give it to you now. His name is James W. Marshall, and he was credited to what the world in the West knows as the gold rush in California. He was credited for finding the largest deposits of gold out West. He holds that title. You don't hear about Nancy. You don't hear about her family and the different things that they did, but you do hear about James West Marshall. And I'm going to tell you their connection here. And this is something that has not been put out. Nancy came to me and told me, you need to tell people because this is the connection. So Nancy, let's go to James. James, these people, these men come to him and say, well, how did you know to come to this small little town and you and your business partner buy this property and you knew gold was going to be here? They wanted to know because, again, this is the Wild, Wild West. There wasn't no cops. There wasn't no popo. There was no police. You couldn't call somebody. Nobody was coming. No, you had to take care of things yourself. So James says, you know, because James was like one of those cats, one of those white cats that just really kind of kept it real. He kept it 100. And James said, you want to know how I know? Because I had a vision. And the vision told me that this was the land that me and Sutter, my business partner, that we needed to buy. So that's why we bought it. So the men looked at him and said, he must be joking. He crazy. He crazy. So, you know, James went about his business. So a couple of days later, James and Andrew is hanging out together. And he's telling him, he said, listen, I want to know if your mother could help me with something. And Andrew says, what do you think my mother could help you with? He said, you know, I just being around her, I could feel her spirit. She's a very wise woman. He said, you know, a lot of times I hear voices, I see shit, you know, things is talking to me, and all kinds of things is going on. And I want to know if Miss Nancy can help me. Yeah, the woo-woo. And he says, I'm sure my mother could help you. So he goes and talks to her. And he said, you know, sometimes these things happen to me. She said, well, you know, don't worry. It's going to happen more, and you'll get a greater understanding. She doesn't tell him the whole story then, even though right then she had already tapped into her psychic powers. She understood what was going on. So Andrew kept a close eye out on his newfound friend, James Marshall. And James went about doing his business work. Well, one day he got Andrew and told him he had a secret to tell him. And that he had found some more gold, that he was walking and a voice told him exactly where to go, where to look, and that there was going to be gold there. And sure enough, he reached down and there was a large chunk of gold. In fact, at that time, the largest chunk of gold loosely that had been found. So they knew if gold was coming up that loose, that there was tons of gold underneath. If a big chunk that big was coming up. So he told Andrew about it, and they tested it to make sure it was real first. They didn't want to just go run and tell everybody. They wanted to make sure the shit was real before they ran and told everybody. Too many times we have things. They could be visions. They could be spiritual. It just could be information, and we want to run and just go run our mouth instantly. Everything is not for that. So he sat with it for a while. Nobody knew. Then he brought in a few of the guys that he trusted. Andrew went and got some of the brothers from Nigga Hill, his cousin and them, and they worked with them. But the men were working. He didn't even tell his business partner at this time. But he would take them after work and take them to this new location and have them begin to mine more gold. And each time they would mine, they're finding more and more and more and more gold. So he finally shares it with his business partner. His business partner is ecstatic. He was some German cat from Germany that, you know, he did all kinds of stuff. He was definitely an individual trying to come up and make a new name for himself and really get rid of the stigmatism that his family carried coming from Germany over to the West. And so he comes in, and they're all excited, and he says, okay, we're going to get people together, but we're still going to keep this on the low-low, okay, until we can put things in place before somebody comes in and ambush us and try to take our property. So while they're still mining, they use the gold that they mined with to purchase the property that they found the gold on. So they purchased the property. Nobody knew what was going on when they purchased the property. Well, what happened is they was finding so much gold, y'all. They was finding so much gold that people started getting greedy. And they started getting conniving. And they started getting cutthroat. These were the miners. They started... all kinds of things started going in. People from the outside was trying to come in, and it just became very ugly. Now, every day, this is why they call it the gold rush. Every day that James is touching and counting this gold, things are happening to him. His visions are becoming stronger. The voices in his head are becoming louder. All kinds of things are coming. He's having dreams. He's astral traveling. Spiritual messages are coming down. He's getting divine intervention from the cosmos. And he's talking about all kinds of things. He's talking about ancient knowledge. He's spitting ancient history. All kinds of things is happening to him. And he's trying to figure out what's going on with him, what's happening to him. And so finally, while he was meditating with a piece of gold in his hand, it gets revealed to him that he has grown up all this time believing he was a white man. And he finds out through this vision that his mother was African-American. He finds out in this vision. He becomes very, very confused about what he's seen, what was revealed to him. He wasn't interested in the money. He was interested and trying to find himself, which is what every true alchemist is doing. When they talk about turning coal into gold, he finally realized that this was the path of enlightenment that he was on. Everyone thought James had lost his mind and went insane, that the pressure was too much for him. But there was nothing wrong with James. He knew exactly what was happening. So he went back to visit Miss Nancy again, and he recognized how he ended up on Nigger Hill. He recognized how Andrew could be his best friend. He recognized why he was so connected to the African-American story. So his father, who was a carpenter, his father, who at one time owned slaves, never revealed to him that his mother was his father's true love. It was never revealed to him. It was revealed to him in a vision while meditating. And he finally understood all of the inner turmoils that he had been going through his whole life. Why he felt different. Where was this ancient knowledge waking up inside of him? He was able to speak with Nancy, and Nancy was able to confirm that for him. So anytime that you Google James W. Marshall. You Google that name, or you Google Nancy and Peter's name and Andrew, you will see that the search comes up together, but nowhere in history do they tell you how they're connected. I think at best they will tell you that Andrew, this African-American brother, and James W. Marshall, this white man, were best friends. No, they were more than best friends. They were related. They had a soul bond. That's how they connected. So James, at this particular point, is not really caring about the goal. He could give a damn less about the goal. We just need to build a place where people can come and they can do what they need to do, and I don't care about it. Y'all can kill yourselves over the goal. And in fact, they must have understood who he was too, because they knew that all of these spots were being able to be found that were where the gold was, that James was the person finding it. He found it. So this mob came to him and told him, you better tell us where the rest of the gold is in California. And guess what they said to him? See, this is a true test when a person recognized that you have this strong melanin blood in you. They told James, if you don't tell us where it is, we're going to lynch you. Interesting word, lynch. You know they wasn't lynching white people back then, but they told James that, oh, we going to lynch you. Oh, you going to tell us. You going to have another one of those damn visions, and you're going to tell us where the gold is. So finally, he got so tired of it. He took as much gold as he thought he would need in his whole life, put it in a backpack, and you guessed it, he hit the road. And where was he going? He was going back to Nigga Hill. And that's where he went. That's where he stayed. And once James made his transition, his best friend came to his rescue, Andrew. Andrew Monroe, Nancy Gush's son. And he buried him. He buried him at the top of Negro Hill to let him know that his true journey, not his hero's journey, because he had been fulfilled that journey, but his internal journey, his soul journey had been fulfilled for him, and he had truly connected with his divine soul group and had that power of enlightenment. That gold rush came upon him, and he was able to raise his frequency and to gain that understanding that was much more greater than anything that gold could provide. He buried him at the top of Negro Hill. Andrew did that. And later, and now to this day, there is a huge statue of James W. Marshall, a brother, at the top of Negro Hill. So on the surface, they want you to believe that this white man got a statue there. That's odd. Why would he be at the top of Negro Hill? Why would they put him there? And he's pointing in that direction. And guess what? Guess what? It was funded by a group of brothers who called themselves the Native Sons. The Native Sons are the ones who funded the statue later in history to be built. The Native Son. The Native Son. Yeah. So, a very powerful story about the gold rush, understanding about that gold rush. Nancy felt it was important at this point that the story be told, her story be told, her son's story, her husband's story, Peter, and James W. Marshall's real story to be told, that people should know. don't be confused. We get so caught up on the vibration of words, and sometimes we try to go back and rewrite history, not realizing that that history is there so we can go back and not really rewrite it, but really get a true divine understanding. So a lot of people were very offended, and I can certainly understand a lot of our people by the word nigger, nigger heel or negro heel. They are offended by that. In fact, thought it was a disgrace. But I want you to know that our ancestors understood what that meant, and it was pride in what that meant. Not negro heel, because they named it. That was not a name given to them. They took that name, because they understood it. And whether you were white, whether you were Chinese, whether you were Portuguese, whether you were Native American, everyone was welcome there. It was a fully functional city full of rich, rich folks, not just in their pocketbooks rich, but they were spiritually rich, they were mentally rich, they were physically rich, they were rich in every sense of the word. So, don't ever look at James W. Marshall and think that he came to that understanding by himself, or that he was just lost. Because a lot of his story, they never go in and tell you about these visions and things that he was having. He was on a spiritual journey. He was truly doing an alchemist's work, as many of us are. And Nancy, oh, the baddest-ass businesswoman in the world, I think all of us can get the lesson for her and how she did that and how she was able to take these elements and really begin to turn them into something magical. I see there's a sister in the chat room, and she's saying that that particular place is one of the most racially divided cities in the U.S. On the surface, it is. And a big part of that racial divide is because everybody is looking at what is on the surface and not the true understanding about what was built on that city, what happened in that particular time, and what was going on. So we need to understand the essence, the true essence, about what things are going on. Quite a few of you live up the street from that place. I would just love to hear from you guys, to call in on the phone lines. It's so many. It's hundreds of you guys on the phone lines. To call in on the phone lines and to share those stories. I do definitely want to talk about Nancy some more and why this is important. You know, we just recently did the show, and if you guys have not heard the show, I want to encourage you to go back. The brother Dietrich that came on to talk to us about e-commerce, spiritual e-commerce, and its true essence about wealth building. And he's in California as well, by the way. Perfect place to understand. It's about investing in yourself, too. You definitely want to check that out, because one of the things that Nancy was saying to me, that this is definitely our time to understand that the purpose of you obtaining things of wealth is certainly not so you can buy a nice car or you can have a nice house or buy nice clothes, even though those things may come along with it. Nancy says the main reason that you're doing this is so that you can complete your spiritual journey, so you can complete it in a holistic way. That's the purpose of it. And when you have something of gold and you're able to place it, whether it's anything gold, gold gives off a frequency, a vibration that is very unique on the planet. And this is why every religion, every culture, every spiritual system, in some shape, form, or fashion, they are mentioning the element of gold. And you're going to hear it so much in the next coming years, it's going to literally blow your mind. Gold. So whether we're talking about the streets in heaven to be paved with gold, we talk about, when they talk about Buddha, they talk about in Hinduism, they talk about gold. When we look to the east, when we look to the west, it is gold, that magical element. So it is important for us to own something gold, to make it a part of your divine foundation that you begin to build upon, that you begin to rise yourself on. Not because of the physical element of the money, because of that foundation, that frequency. It opens up portals. It opens up understanding. It opens up the crown chakra. It opens up the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, the 17th, the other ladder that nobody talks about. It opens up those portals. And it's very healing for your 12 chakras going all the way down. It's very healing for that. Healing in the body. It brings about understanding. All of that. It's an important element for us to have. And I want to encourage everyone to get a green apple. This was one of Nancy's favorite fruits. She loved it. Loved it. She talked about her sun-kissed apples that are out there. Her sun-kissed apples that are out there. That's what it is. And a lot of times when we start to think about gold, we connect gold to the sun. And even though there is a connection between gold and the sun, it's not really the S-U-N that's important to understand about the gold, but it's the S-O-N, because this is at the core and the essence of humanity and the spiritual being on the planet Earth itself. That's the connection. That's the important connection with gold. Right there. Even when it comes to the first deposits of gold that are here, gold was not even formed on this planet. It was formed out into the Milky Way. It was not even formed here. Gold was not formed on this planet. This is why it is something that is out of this world. And those who own the gold own the world. This is why you hear this. It wasn't even made here. It wasn't. Now the properties that exist within the core of the earth, after the earth has turned itself inside out and back inside again, it is embedded. Two of the most highly populated places on the planet with gold. And I did this show, and for those of you who want to go back into the archives a couple of years ago when I talked about the goddess Sekhmet, is that there are two places, the continent of Africa and also here in the West, our continent. And that portal where that gold is, it goes from Nevada all the way to Las Vegas. The two places on the planet that has the highest qualities of gold is in Africa and right here in Nevada and also in Los Angeles. This is why the government owns most of the land out there. And you will never get a chance to purchase that land. It will not be developed because that is where gold sits. It's also a portal from the continent here all the way to a continent all the way in Africa. There is a portal. You could actually leave Las Vegas, and that's why if you've ever been to Las Vegas, you will see a strong ancient Egyptian influence, because there is a portal that takes you from there all the way to here. It takes you there. And it's a couple of other places on the planet. But get your green apple. And this is what Nancy wants you to do. Get your green apple. Boil you about 4 or 5 green apples and begin to start to take that green apple and begin to work with it. Begin to work with it. Maybe mix it with, when you mix it in, you can actually take some olive oil and mix it together. It's excellent for cleaning things in your house. Like you can clean leather with it. You can begin to do that. Also take it. It's excellent if you take the green apple and begin to mix it with some distilled water, and you can use it to spray it throughout your house. It will be an air freshener in your sacred space. Take a cup of the green apples and take it and pour it in when you're washing your clothes to really kind of give it that energy, that freshness, bring that wisdom in to everything that you're cleansing with, and begin to mix that with it. That's important for you to begin to understand. Also understand what kind of wealth it is that you're truly going after. Because none of this, the gold rush in California was not about gold at all. It had nothing to do with gold, in fact. It was about understanding. It was about understanding purpose, and it was about understanding the essence of your intent. And that's what Nancy was about. Nancy was about that. She was a woman who was about her money business. She knew how to save for a purpose, not saving just to be saving, not saving for a rainy day. There was a purpose and why she was collecting gold. So that's the challenge for all of you out there, that Nancy, one of the main messages she wants to bring to you. What are you saving for? What's your purpose? What's the divine purpose that you're doing this for? It's time that we wake this energy up and begin to look at things across the board and see them for what they are. So peace by peace by piece. She wasn't getting a whole lot, but she was able to purchase, at the end, I think she owned over 100-something acres of land. She had a vineyard out there. She had all kinds of things that was out there. Amazing. 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 So this was her story, and I'm happy that I was able to be able to give this out at this particular time. A lot of things for the green apple. The green apple is about wealth and abundance, she says, happiness. It's about friendship, and it also is about love. It's about love. Make sure you have a green apple inside of your refrigerator. It's about love. It's about wealth. And when you come up with your wealth ritual, you can take it and you can take a green apple, slice it, not all the way through, but write it on a paper and put it inside the green apple and bury the apple inside the earth. And Nancy and Peter will bless it. They will bless it for you. They will. This is our time that we begin to start thinking about our wealth, and understanding that we don't need to be in a rush, but we do need to be making some smart decisions when it comes to every single area of our life. Every single area. So I wanted to share that with you guys. I am so glad we get to talk to the ancestors. I'm still going to be talking here with Nancy and taking your calls, because it's so many of you guys on the phone lines here. If you have a question or you want to share, 646-652-2711 is the number to call. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. So I'm going to go to the phone lines right now, and Nancy is here as well. So let's go to the phone lines. Press 1 once you get on the phone lines. Let's go to the caller calling in from area code 414. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Hello, 414. All right, we're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 540. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Greetings. Who's on the line, please?
Hi, this is Ivana, and I'm calling from Virginia.
Okay, greetings, Ivana from Virginia.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. So did you call in?
Okay. Share?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Share what exactly?
Well, you press 1, so what would you like to share?
I think I'll be back in the queue and then share later.
Mm-hmm. So why did you press 1?
I don't know. I thought you were doing like readings.
Mm-hmm. I am going to do readings, but I think it's definitely fair that you also share something as well too, don't you? Certainly, you didn't listen to the whole show and just say, "I want to press 1 and get a reading." What do you want to get a reading on?
Like I had a question because I have like a court date coming up in May, and I just wanted to know like if you knew if it was going to go good or not.
Mhm. Mhm. Did you get a chance to listen to the show tonight?
I heard the beginning of it, and then I have bad service in my basement or whatever, so it was like in and out.
Mm, okay. Well, I'm going to put you on hold then, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold the line. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 816. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Blue? Gary Collins.
I can't hear you. Can you speak up for me and take me off speakerphone?
Can you hear me now?
You sound like you kind of under the covers or something.
I am under the covers, but I got my phone turned. Can you hear me now?
It's a little better. I can hear you. What's your name again?
Gary.
Did you say Jerry from Kansas City?
Jerry, D-A-R-Y.
Okay, Gary from Kansas City. Greetings to you.
Thank you. I was actually wanting to know more about the Save the Sale. I know it's real vital to, you know, what you're trying to do. You got to plan right. But I was listening to the whole issue on, you know, how powerful gold is, actually. And right now, you say with a purpose. You're saying, that's the main thing, saying with a purpose. I'm just trying to save it right now, and more so something I won't have without. Can you hear me?
You are very, very low to us, and I can understand why you are coming in very, very low. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick your energy up from me, and I need you to ask the question.
I don't know if this is better, but I was wanting to know, I guess, how can I save for the purpose of just better saving more so for I'm trying to save it so I won't be without in the future, you know?
Okay. So you want to make sure that you want to know how can you save for a purpose versus just saving for the future. Well, what is the purpose that you're saving for? A future to do what? What are you saving for? Do you even know?
Well, so I won't be without, you know, so I won't, you know, for hard times, I guess, you know, it's always something.
Mm-hmm. So you're planning to have hard times,
And know that you will have hard times. If you are saving for hard times, trust me, we all have to be right. So you will have some hard times. The purpose of you saving should not be for hard times. That should never be the purpose of your saving. Not for hard times. That's like saying, I'm saving so when my car breaks down. Really? Why would you save for that? So what's some of the other things that you could really save for? One of the things that you're saving for is because you don't want to step up to the plate and you don't want to take the position as a leader. So you saving allows you to move away from that. Know that your money can't speak for you. It can open up doors for you, but it cannot speak for you at all. We talked about this in the Kim Business class and also in Self-Invested. Money can only open up doors. It cannot speak for you. So you need to stand up, step up to the plate, and know what you're saving for. If you're saving so that when you get 65, 55, or whatever, that you can sit at home and you can throw crystals at the ceiling, whatever it is, but you definitely need to find a reason for saving. And at this particular point, you got to stop walking around thinking somebody owes you something. The world does not owe you shit. Nothing.
Whatever it is, just don't save for like negative. You know, don't. I guess you're saying don't be.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Whatever it is. So you telling me you have absolutely no vision for your future? You need to sit down and you need to write out your life, because you're just going day to day. You understand? It takes no intelligence. It takes no spirituality. It takes no nothing to live day to day.
Okay. I understand.
What am I saying, since you can understand what I'm saying?
Basically have a purpose. You know, have some kind of map out, you know, what I want to do with myself, where I want to go, where do I see myself, and map it out.
I don't want you to know where you see yourself. I want you to pick something. Even if you say, I'm saving so I can go on vacation. I'm saving so I can buy me some new underwear. I'm saving so I can buy some new sheets. You need to have a purpose. Because now you're not living your life. Life is living you. And therefore, that's why you always feel like you're not in control of shit. And everything is controlling you. And everything is against you. And no matter how hard you save, no matter how hard you do the right thing, life keeps throwing you shit. Because you have given your will up to the ethers. You're just putting it out there. It's just floating in space. So get it together. Your energy is so low. Your energy is just so really, really low, like you can't even hold your head up. And when you walk, hold your shoulders back. Hold your head up. We can't even hear you. You're not even in this reality. We can't hear you. You know how they talk about fade to black? You're fading to black, to black out. You definitely need to get you some gold, get you some pyrite, start to meditate with it, start to tap into those things so you can bring your frequency back into your body.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Of course we can't.
My phone has been, for some reason, it's been hard for people to hear me, but...
Your phone is being blocked by your cloudiness. Because right now you sound very confused. Very confused. Take some time and learn how to go within yourself. Take some time to do that. Get you a gold pyrite. Start to meditate with that. Start to work with that. Start to begin to come back inside of your body.
Hello?
I'm still here. I didn't go anywhere.
My eyes are strong or something like that.
You said what now?
I heard some drums and some music about to play something about.
Yeah, you do hear drums. You're going to hear a whole lot more than drums. It's amazing how you can hear that and respond, but you can't hear anything else. Why don't you put some music on? You know, Mardi Gras is about to get kicked off in a very big way in New Orleans, and they have a call and response. I did a show about Mardi Gras, about get a new suit, and had one of the Mardi Gras Indians come on and talk about the history and the culture. You need to become the flag boy so you can be the one we put out front, so that you can begin to hear, see, and use your senses. All right?
All right.
Well, definitely call us back. Peace and love to you. Ooh, we're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 706. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
What's up, Miss Blue? This is Corey from Atlanta.
Okay, greetings to you, Corey from Atlanta.
I really like the show. It's kind of going right down the alley of what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about going back to school and going to try to master mathematics instead of running from it this time.
Corey, we're having a hard time hearing you. Do you have us on speaker?
All right, yeah, you got me better now?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so going to make the move starting back in school, and I'm going towards all of the hard math. Even though I've never really been good in math, I think I got enough to apply myself to it and come up big with it.
Mm. And what are you going to do with all of the math?
Well, I want to go into financial engineering ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, just running after money ain't enough, you know, just to have the physical things, but to have the power to be able to dedicate my life and do what I want to do and live the way I want to for the second half of my life,
mm-hmm.
that will be
well,
better.
Well, you do know you don't have to be a financial engineer to do that. You do know that, right? We making that happen every day on the remix. You do realize
yeah.
that.
I realize that completely. I mean, but it all depends on what kind of lifestyle you want to live. So I could live like a real easy life on a beach in Jamaica and be very happy. Or I could participate in this while I'm here. So I might as well participate big. So listening to your story about Nigger Hill and all that, I might as well be the nigga at the top of the hill.
Mm. Well, that nigga at the top of the hill only had what was in his backpack.
It was full of gold.
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't a lot of gold. He was the one who found all the gold, and he walked away with just what he can put in his backpack and left it all. Because
yeah,
the true journey was about his enlightenment. It wasn't about the gold at all. He wasn't a paper chaser.
Yeah, I'm not a paper chaser. I think I left it all when I was like 22. I left it all, joined the military, got a chance to go around the entire planet, and I was very spiritually, you know, based and studied everything, and finally, you know, I understood that it's all about what's in my mind. So I'm at a point where I feel like, you know, if I have all this knowledge inside of me, I should be able to manifest something that can not only benefit me, but benefit others as well. So I'm not chasing paper, but if I'm going to live here for 30 more years, I might as well be happy and comfortable.
Well, I would hope so. That's the whole point. Why would you think you had to be uncomfortable?
No, I don't. That's what I was just calling, you know, I like to listen. No, I don't think I should be uncomfortable. I think I should be.
Yeah. I mean, the whole goal is, you know, you shouldn't be uncomfortable. I'm glad that you, like you said, in the second half of your life, you've come to that conclusion. But the whole goal is, why be uncomfortable? For what reason? You know, that's a story that, you know, if I could share this with you, you said something. You said you was never really good at math. However, you was going to go to school with something that deals with extreme levels of math.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that's going to work? How do you think that's going to work for you? You're just going to look at it as another one of your challenges?
Yeah, it's no other way to look at it. I mean, I think, you know, everybody says they're not good at math, and it's probably just
but I don't really want to talk about everybody. I want to talk about you.
Oh, well.
Because everybody don't say they're not good at math. I know some people that are math fucking wizards. Matter of fact, we got a lot of financial engineers that I've done readings for. That's how I know what they are and what they do. So everybody's not good at math.
Well, really, I'm probably good at math. I feel like I can apply myself to it. The only thing that could really stop me is not having the time, and I guess that will be where my self-doubt will come in. But mm-hmm. I just see it as so many opportunities, or, you know, I can't do this because I ain't really good at math, and I'm just kind of sick of that. So
yeah.
I just, you know, and yeah, I'm going to have to practice it, and I'm going to have to do it, and I'm going to have to be committed and dedicated, fall down, get back up, the whole nine. But I definitely believe I can do it, and I think the payoff will be good, and I think it'll give me a lot of more stability and a lot more,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, a lot more of the things I'm looking for, but just
so
part of my
tell
life.
Tell me, Corey, what's the real reason you want to go back to school?
Oh, so I don't have to just work the mundane 9-to-5. It's basically, I think, you know, the way I feel about life is I have a certain understanding about life, whether it's right or wrong, but I do understand that since I'm here, I should participate. And if
so you wasn't participating in your life before?
On a certain level, you know, on a certain level. I was more or less into learning spiritual things and caught up all in, oh, you know, ancient Egypt this and the gods of black.
Can I tell you a secret? I don't want you to be disappointed about this secret, though. Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
Math is all about ancient Egyptian knowledge. In fact, sacred geometry, everything this whole universe is built off of, is a spiritual system that encompasses math, the formulas. The gods and goddesses understood that. In fact, in the computer language is where they hid the language of the gods. If you look at the back of electronic manual or something that is dealing with computer languages, you will see all the markings of the hieroglyphs. A lot that are coming from even out of the Mayans culture, coming out of the East, all of that is math. The I Ching, understanding that, all of that is math. So if you're trying to run from spirituality, you getting ready to go slap face forward into it.
No, I'm not running for anything, and no doubt, you know that I know that, and mm-hmm. that's exactly why I feel encouraged to step up to the challenge of the regular, what seems to be mundane math that we learn, you know, the basic arithmetic.
There's
there's
no such thing as mundane math. How could you say that? Zero and one is everything. How could it be mundane?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I was doing a little math today, and I was doing a little bit of, what is it? It's just kind of like metalinguistics, you know, you're just using the the numbers, even if you're doing 1 + 3, you know, even on whatever you want to substitute it for, knowledge, for understanding or understanding to
Corey. I have no doubt that anything that you put your mind to, you will be successful at. I guess the question I have for you is, what's the real reason you want to go to school?
Because, man, I get tired of getting up and going to work and not making X amount of dollars. And like I said,
so,
I think a lot is greater.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
So the real reason you want to go to school is because you have to get up and go to work and make money?
Hell yeah. Because if I could just be rich and stay home all day and paint clouds, I would do that. And I probably did that for a long time in my life.
So becoming a financial engineer, you will just become rich?
No. I'm already rich. I'm already rich in the heart. But
But I want you to know I'm using your words. Because you said if I could become rich. I didn't say that. You did. I would challenge you to really think about the real reason. Because staying home and not having to work, it seems like you're doing a whole lot of work to get back to not working. You're getting ready to go to school to work. You're getting ready to work so you can do nothing. But as long as this is what I want you to know, I don't have to get it. As long as you got it, that's all that counts. That really is all that counts, really. And I'm being 100% serious with you. As long as you get it, that's all that counts. Yeah, that really is. Mm-hmm. So did you call in just to share that and to tell me you're listening to the show, which I thank you for that, and I'm glad that that was some form of inspiration for you, or did you have a question?
You know, I always have a question because, you know, everybody likes to get a little insight into the other side. So,
Corey, you know what I don't want you to do? I don't want you to tell me about everybody anymore. I want you to tell me about Corey.
Yeah, I want to get a reason. You got one?
Okay. There you go. There you go. I want you to be about Corey. That's all. That's it. We don't care about everybody. We care about Corey right now. All right. So what's your question, Corey?
Can you see anything about my situation with my daughter?
Corey, that's a tricky situation when it comes to what's going on with your daughter. Right now, the main thing that I see is that it's still a lot of strife going on between you and her mother and as well as the family, correct?
Yeah.
It is a possibility of the coming together, but there's a couple of things that has to be in place. And this is why one of the things I really wanted to encourage you to do was to really, really think about the real reason that you want to go back to school and that you want to do these things. Because there is a really deeper reason for that. You're not a superficial brother. That's not the core. And you're not a lazy brother. So sitting at home and doing absolutely nothing, I mean, I can romanticize that thought with you, but that's truly not at the core and the essence of where you are. This is really about you being able to take care of your family, both the family you have now and your daughter. And those responsibilities have not been met. And so this is why it's still that strain on the relationship of really having it in a way where you can just be free to be her father, her dad, and love her, have her spend time with you, and not have all these other pressures about back child support, what you got to pay, what you got to do, and what you need to be doing, and taking your money when you do get a little bit of money, threatening to take other things away from you. That's what this is about.
Oh, yeah, definitely, on a very serious level. And I'm definitely up for the challenge, and I just feel like I feel like that's something that I want to do or that I would enjoy doing, and there's no need for me to be afraid of it because I'm not good at arithmetic. Like you said, arithmetic is everything.
That's right. That's right. So, well, but here, I want to stop you for a minute because you really totally dismiss how your daughter is connected to this because you keep saying that math is your challenge, and that's not your real challenge. The real challenge is, can you step up to the plate and be the man that you know you are and be able to provide for and take care of your family and take care of your responsibilities? I want you to understand that this ain't got shit to do with you going back to school. Now, it is good that you find something that you're interested in. But the real reason you're doing this is so that you can go back and really correct some things that need to be corrected.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it.
No doubt. So I'm going to keep y'all posted as I continue this journey. I mean.
So I do see in about 2 years, a lot of this will die itself down. A lot of it. Of course, a lot of that depends on you and the work that you're truly doing. Really doing it from the heart space and not from the mind space. So that's, want to know how things are going to get a little easier. I see in about 2 years. Now, of course, that can open up a whole lot faster or it can take a whole lot longer. But really in about 2 years where it will be in a very good place.
Well, that's good. Oh, here's a question that I really did think of, and then I'll be off the line. You say that we live a lot of different lives as we incarnate here, right? Why do we continue to incarnate on Earth, or do we incarnate on other planets as well?
Some people, yes. Some people do incarnate on other planets, and some people have incarnated on other planets all the time. One of the reasons that we continuously keep incarnating here, I found based on my work and the research that I've done and the number of readings that I've done, is a lot of it is that we're here to evolve. And a lot of us, what happens is we come back to Earth and we have sort of put certain things in place, and then it becomes very difficult for us to step up to the plate.
Right. Yeah, well, stepping up the plate, that's what I got to do. That's just what got to be done, all right? And so just got to get it up.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm going to let you go, Corey. I know sometimes you call in, you think I'm choking you, but I'm really not. I just really want you to really.
I feel like you don't ever tell me what you're really thinking.
Right,
like
because you're not open to hear it and you won't receive it. So why waste my time?
Try me tonight. Try me. I've called you maybe 3 or 4 times and I always kind of get like a, I don't know. But you can try me. I want to know. I'm
really not in the business of trying, but I'll let you know that I did give you some information. You asked me about your daughter and how that coming together was going to come. And you totally went back to about why you wanted to take on the challenge of math. And so here's the question I'll ask you. You're willing to step out and take on the challenge of math, but you're not willing to step up and take on the challenge of being a husband and being a father. Why is that?
No, I'm definitely willing to take that challenge. I definitely feel good about, you know, you telling me it'd be in like 2 years. And I've already told myself that, you know, even though my ex-wife, she took my daughter, won't let me see the child, but that doesn't stop me from being the best father.
But listen, here's the part where we got to stop it. She didn't just take your child and won't let you see her. You know why she won't let you see your child. You know why.
Well, regardless of why.
No, hold on, because you took no responsibility. You said she took my child and won't let me see her, as if she is just this evil woman who just for no fucking reason said you ain't going to see your child. That's not what happened.
Well, I feel like a lot of it is, you know, I feel like she didn't know her father, and I do take responsibility for...
No. That don't have nothing to do with it. That ain't got nothing to do with it. When you met her, she didn't know her father. That don't have nothing to do with it. Once again, you want to know why I don't tell you? Because you can't receive it. You don't want to receive it, and you get to not receive it. That's your choice. But that's why. Because I'm not in the business of telling people something and they're not going to receive it. Why? Why waste your time and mine? Why do it?
Well, why do you think I wouldn't receive it? I mean, I know the whole story.
I'm telling you now, and you're not receiving anything. You're making excuses for something that you know is not true. But the only thing I can tell
to my ex-wife, you know, I didn't do anything to hurt her. We were 9 years apart. And
come on, Corey. You don't believe that. Stop it. I'm not gonna allow you to use this as an opportunity to speak against somebody who can't defend themselves.
No, I'm not trying to speak as an speak against a woman. Like I said, this is the way I deal with it. I feel like.
Hold on. So you have the answer. That's why the way you're dealing with it. That's why you can't see your daughter. There you go. Thank you for calling in. That's why you can't see your daughter, because of that. How can two people be in a relationship and one person cause everything to go havoc, but then you're still in havoc and that person is not there? Let's go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 612, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Greetings. Who's on the line?
Hi.
Who's on the line, please?
Be on speaker.
Hello?
Hello. Greetings. Who's on the line?
Hi, my name is William Harris. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay. Greetings to you. Greetings.
And I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed all of the connectivity that was in the story that you told about Nancy and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't remember their last names. I was trying to Google and listen. But I did look up the other gentleman's name.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, and I'm very interested in really being honest about why I have a little reluctancy with connecting to certain Agun in my life and really wanting to know more about their presence in my life. And so, that's really where I'm coming from. But the story was beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time I've ever called in, so thank you. Big up to the remix. My wife's been on me. She said, "Miss Blue, don't play." And I'm we just been sitting there listening, okay? But yeah, the Agun work, because I recently lost my mother, and I watched her go through her transition, like her last days and hours, and just even watching her last three breaths be taken. And it was really deep for me as I battled with having to witness it, but also trying to really get out the way of personalizing it too much. And so I've been really interested on our connection now that she has transitioned.
I thank you for sharing that. And one of the things that I'll say to you, for us as humans, and I don't care how much we work on that spiritual component or side of us, having a loved one or someone close to us transition is one of the most difficult things that we can experience as human beings here. You know, even though we can transcend to ourselves and know that life is eternal, you know, we are eternal beings. And, you know, one of the things I could tell you is definitely your mother is around you, and you know that. I do want to ask you a question. What is the significance of a dove? And who saw a dove shortly after she passed away?
Wow. I'd have to ask who was all present.
Yeah, and I don't mean present at her place where she passed away, because she I see her in a bed when she passed away. So either she was in some sort of hospice situation or something of that particular nature when she did pass away. But I'm saying days or so later. One of the things that she's saying is it really has a lot to do with this dove. Your mother was definitely ready to go. I guess that's something that we all can say. We go when we're ready to go. But she truly was. And, you know, to have you there meant a lot for her. One of the things that I see, was there some, who raised you? Did your mother raise you?
She tells me something about,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to listen.
No. Go ahead. Say what you were going to say. That's fine.
My mother and I had a very beautiful but tormentuous life with each other. And at certain times, other people raised me.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, because she's apologizing for not raising you. So that's why I was like, wait a minute, you didn't raise him? Like, who raised him? So that's the main thing she's saying, is that, you know, it was a lot of things that she encountered in her life that happened to her, a lot of things that happened to her. And it was very, very difficult for her to deal with those things of the heart. And she says that's something that you carry from her. Like your heart space and love is very sensitive to you. And that's how it was for her. And truly, your mother, what really began her spiral was a broken heart.
Right. Yeah.
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 And so, you know, she says that's the main love she wants to send to you and to your wife. And she says that's something she did communicate to you in her last days. You know, she was proud of you and just the man you've become and the things that you were doing. And she's truly, truly, truly sorry for not being able to do those things for you. That's the main thing, is especially, she says, in your younger years. I guess there was a significant point around the time you were 11 years old, and she said that was a very dark time for her, for a lot of things she was going through.
Yeah, because that's when my little brother Jerron passed away.
Yeah, okay, like, so it makes sense.
Yes, because I was 9 until my sister Jamie was born. And my little brother, Jimmy, was born. And like, I believe that they're together now, like, because in the same year they passed away.
Yeah.
My little brother, Jimmy, and then my great aunt, Crystal, and my mom. But like, 11 years old, yeah, I can see that. I was doing a lot try to help her take care of my little brother and sister, and it was heavy.
Yeah. But she definitely sends her love and love to you and to the whole family. And you know, your mom, she definitely is still going through a lot of healing for herself. She's doing a lot of healing. She spent a lot of time inside the healing tank. So did she pass away of cancer?
Oh my God. Yeah. She had pancreatic cancer.
Yes. And you know, Go ahead. I'm listening.
She was at home with us. Like, she chose, because I had to come from Minneapolis to go to Arizona. I want you.
No.
Yeah, so I left to go there. And like her best friend, and mainly her best friend Bobby, and my sister, you know, we were there all the time. And then like my little cousins, and then her, like now the oldest person in our family is my Aunt Melody. That was the youngest of, that was her little sister. Okay. The other sisters had passed early. So anyway, yeah, we were at home with her, and the hospice people told us some really beautiful stuff that made me realize more of like why, you know, it was very important. Like the thing that struck me the most is that listening was like the last sense to go.
Yes.
And it just blew me away, because so I would talk to her, and I would talk to her, and I would keep talking to her.
And you would hold her hand, she says, and you would stay up and just talk to her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She loves you very much, all of her children. And, you know, that actually gave her the strength to live a lot longer. She says that she really could have left a whole lot earlier, but she decided to stay. And there was no better place that she would have rather been than with you and your family, because she really wanted to give that to you. So instead of you looking at it as something traumatic, she really was offering that as a gift to you, to be there in her last hours and to be able to nurture her and to care for her. And she said that, you know, she loved when you would say, remember when this happened, remember when that happened. And she said that was just so loving and so healing to her. And actually, you gave her the strength, because she was far too weak to leave. And believe it or not, sometimes the physical body can be too weak to leave. Our spirits can be too weak to leave. And you gave her the strength, and you gave her the freedom that she's never gotten from anyone in this world, so that she could leave peacefully and in harmony and grace and with dignity.
Wow. Yay. Okay. Okay. Because, you know, I was worried, because I had heard some things. I've been listening to a lot of spiritual knowledge by my wife, who has been such a powerful person in my life. I don't even know if she knows how amazing she is, like, because of her thirst for her connection to her guidance, though. You know, I was worried about, like, connecting with my mom in Egu prayer and, you know, asking her things. And, like, since she's been gone, like, sometimes I'll just talk to her. I've been, like, looking at how, okay, so a couple of things. Like, this ancestral altars and our, like, we're a little kind of, I won't say this for my wife, but I'm touchy about it because I want to do it right. And, like, I've heard,
that you can't do it wrong. You cannot do it wrong. It's impossible. Okay. It's impossible. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Because I was just, like, wanting to make sure that that my mom could know that she could come and visit us.
Oh, she's there. She is there. She is absolutely there. In fact, did something recently happen to one of your appliances? Was it in your house? In the kitchen?
What are the appliances?
Something she's telling me with in the kitchen, the refrigerator, something. I don't know what.
Let me think. I don't know.
Just hold that thought because
wait a minute. The lights. Well, we were all in darkness like last week. Well, no, that was something else. It was during a storm up here, some Arctic crazy storm.
But it doesn't matter. Know that all of those things. This is how spirit speaks to us. A lot of times, different things that are going on. This is how spirits. Wait a minute. Hold on. She's telling. Let me ask. Do you have an ice maker?
No.
what, I wonder if she's something dealing with ice. Do you who has some infatuation with ice?
Lita. Lita, our daughter.
Okay, because
she's
said,
an ice eater.
Okay, so that is what she's telling me, something about they're always going in the refrigerator to get the ice or to make the ice, to get the ice, something
that's
dealing
Lita.
With. Okay, so she's, see, and those kind of things mean absolutely nothing to me, but this is Spirit's way of letting you know that they're still here, they're still alive. In fact, she's also talking about something about her bedroom shoes that she had, one of her favorite pair of bedroom shoes.
I got her socks. I bought a pair of her socks with me from Arizona.
Okay. Well, maybe, beautiful. I know it's something for the feet, and they look like bedroom shoes to me.
She was worried about her feet. She loved having her feet covered up. She never liked nobody touching her feet.
Well, she's letting me know about her feet, and these look like bedroom shoes to me, but they may be those socks or bedroom shoes that are there. So how beautiful. And so many people are saying that you remind him of their mother and, you know, just the connection they have with their mother who've made their transition. But she's in a much better place. She's learning so much from you guys. She's loving seeing the family interact with themselves and really just being that happy space and be in that happy place. And she's very, very thankful that you guys were able to bring her in your home and allow her to do that, to be there for her. That more than ever, she is very thankful for. And she says that all of the spirit juice she'd been drinking over the course of her life, she understands why now.
Wow. Oh, my goodness, boy. Okay. Wow. Okay. Miss Blue?
Yes.
Wow. I'm so thankful. I've been waiting, and not waiting, but like patient in the knowing that how real. Look, we've been like imbued by you. Like I before I even got to really talk, like this is means so much to me. I was a little apprehensive. It's like, 'cause I got so much that I want to know. Like, I mean, things about initiation and this, that, and the third, and like, I'll tell people, like, y'all ain't heard of Mrs. Blue. Y'all need to see, like, this woman, like, you know, it's like, just because, like, we look at it like, okay, so we're here in Minneapolis, but we know, like, there's so much connectivity, like, everywhere.
Yes.
Like, everywhere.
Yes.
There's so many beautiful people that are having the same conversations and the same feelings all the time, everywhere. And that, to me, is beautiful. That's big.
Well, it's beautiful. Your mother said she is learning so much from you guys. She is learning so much from you guys, spiritually as well. She even understands about the spirit drinks and about libations and why she would, all kinds of things would come to her when she was drinking, and she's just laughing about it. She's like, wow. She didn't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Mama. I want to share something with you, Miss Blue.
Yes.
My mom had this word, and I'm compelled to share it with you because I feel like I'm talking to like an aunt. She had a word, and her word was kalakalak.
I love it, kalakalak.
Kalakalak. And kalakalak was her word for making everything happen. Like, even when there was nothing. And even when you knew it was sad times, my mom would say, kalakalak, like, you know, you got a little bit of this, I got a little bit of this, somebody else going to come with that, like, you know, and we're going to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. My mom, she carried that. That was her word. Like, I was like, yeah, I like that word. I had to write a poem for her in the obituary, and I made sure I brought that word because I felt like it was a power word. For lack of a better word, magical word.
People are putting it in the chat room. Kalakalak. That's
kalakalak.
It, y'all. Oh, that is beautiful.
Okay.
So let me ask you, what is your wife's name? We've been hearing so much about her. I hear her in the background.
Oh,
I see her sitting over there.
Her name is Leslie.
What is
it's
it?
Leslie. Leslie.
Leslie. Oh, okay. Beautiful, Leslie.
Hey, Miss Blue.
Hey. I think this is so beautiful that you guys called in. I'm so glad that you did call in to speak about I'm so glad that you called in to speak about to speak about just the show tonight, just how it moved you, your connection with your mother. She's definitely around you guys and the family and everyone, and really just see things from a much, much happier place, you know, where she was, she is. And she's learning a whole lot spiritually about herself, and she's enjoying it. She's loving every minute of it. Yeah. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Peace and love. Hold the line. Wow. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys. I'm going to keep going to... Oh, hold on. I thought I was typing something. Hold on. Okay, you guys, we're going to keep going to the phone lines. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 916. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello.
Hello. Greetings. Who's on the line?
Hi, this is Roshonda calling from Sacramento.
Okay, can you take us off speakerphone, please?
There you go.
All right.
A little better?
That is a 1,000 times better.
What a beautiful story this evening, Miss Blues. Thank you so much.
Wonderful
share.
Thank you.
And it's right in my backyard. That's amazing.
You live near there. Okay.
Yeah, I sure do.
Tell us about what you know and sort of what stood out from the information that Nancy was sharing with me about this story.
Yeah, so about Negro Bar, all I knew was that it was a black settlement. So all of what Nancy had to share was just amazing about, and I thought it, I always, what do I want to say, instinctively, thought to myself that there had to be a connection with the Gold Rush, considering that's the place where it was. But yes, that was really amazing to hear that. And coincidentally enough, the lake, Folsom Lake, that connects on the other side is like completely dry right now. So yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. So they never really, you just knew that particular place was a black settlement, but no big talk about everything that was going on there and how it was a place where so many people from all around the world were able to come, and they had built this whole metropolis there.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. In the museums, they do display like different artifacts that show you that it was a worldly place, but they don't attribute that specifically to Negro Bar at all.
Well, you know, from my understanding, okay. Well, Nancy is saying that what actually is Negro Bar is in that same area, close to Negro Hill. So it's really
wow.
A whole wide thing. And then there's a place called something Coleman or Colon. Does that make sense? Coleman or some city or something near there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So all of that. And what happened is, of course, they don't want to tell you the whole history, and they may not know it. So this is a great opportunity for somebody who lives close to that area. Now you have a whole nother sense of appreciation for where you are and how powerful that is. That is so beautiful. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing. No, thank you. Thank you for saying that. That's wow.
Oh, okay. beautiful. Well, hold on to this. And eventually what happened to all of the land over time, a lot of it was sold back to the state of California. That's what eventually happened. A lot of the land went back to the state of California. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep going. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 763. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. Okay. We're going to come back to them. We're going to go to the next caller. Let's see. I'm looking. Oh, wow. So many of you guys on the phone line. Give me 1 second. Let's see. We're going to go to the caller calling in from area code 773. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, good evening, Ms. Blue. This is Dan. I'm calling from Chicago.
Okay, greetings, Darren from Chicago.
Yeah, I just calling in. I just got in the house. I didn't know. I'm hearing, you know, what the show is about. I've been listening to your show for some years, and it's just wonderful, you know, to hear you, you know, I guess revealing things about, you know, just whatever. I actually went to sleep listening to one of your shows like this morning. And I guess it was sleeping into my subconscious. I heard you say something about how things come out of us in terms of we'll see the Godhead. You know, so I don't mean to, you know, pull the show off topic or anything like that.
Oh, you but, can't do that, sweetie.
Okay. Well, I mean, I heard you say that, and you said it was the Godhead, and I look in my pocket, I guess, after I wake up, and I've been drawing this picture of this squid head for probably, like, most of my life. Never knew what it was, and I just found out what that really represents as far as Cthulhu, and I tried to get this reading done somewhere, you know, astrological, and they told me I need to get a past life regression. So I was wondering, do you do those, or is that something that you do?
Well, let me answer this for you. First of all, I can't speak to or why somebody would tell you you would need something else before that. I really can't speak to that. What is your question you want to know?
That's the thing, I guess, that connects to Cthulhu is that represents the subconscious, sleeping, slumbering subconscious.
I can't hear you.
I say Cthulhu representing the subconscious mind and what's emanating from that, sending symbols and signs and trying to wake us up. Because everyone says, oh, you know, I'm waking up. But it's like, what are we waking up from? You know, it's like these things are coming from somewhere else. You know, we've already been walking around in life and doing the things we do. That's sleep, you know. I guess that's what my question is. Like, that's what I relate that to is past experience that I've had that I feel like have been blocked off from, you know, from me now. And I guess that is kind of my question is do you do those kinds of readings referring to past lives and past life regression specifically?
Yeah, I do. I do past life readings. I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting though because I hear what you're saying, but that's not really what you want to know. So, what's your real question?
But I want to know who I am. I mean, I've gotten certain. Yeah, it's just basically the feeling that if I found out certain information about myself that I would really not be the same person anymore. And, you know, what it really relates to, I feel like that's been blocked off from me, and I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. So when you say you feel like you don't know who you really are, and if you found out, what do you think will happen if you found out, as you say, who you really were? What do you think would happen?
What do I think would happen? I think it would be, that's what I'm saying. I don't even consider it. I've never really considered it. I mean, I've done all kinds of different things to try to do that, but I've.
No, no, no.
It feels like I might just die. Like that will be the end of my life once I find out. So I don't know.
So I what was your name again?
Darren.
So you want to find out something that will end your life. That's what you're telling me. Please help me find out some shit I'm going to cause me to end my fucking life.
You see what I'm saying? That's what it feels like. It feels like it's going to be that changing, that much life changing, that I would not even recognize myself, that I would just be, you know, like literally this is going to open up a whole other doorway into who I really am. That's what I mean. And I feel it being that significant because I know that I've blocked it, you know, and...
Well, I guess
I really want to know why.
Mm-hmm. Here's a couple of things that I would say to you, and I definitely understand where you're coming from. And yes, I do readings that help people. I don't know, you know, certain people have certain traditions that they follow and certain things. I don't get caught up in any of that. But I will tell you this, that at first you said people always talk about waking up, but we've been waking up, so what are we really waking up to? And now you're telling me that you want a reading so you could be woke the fuck up.
Hold on.
The reason I'm telling you that is so that you can understand that you're really kind of in a tailspin with what it is you're trying to even communicate about what you're trying to find out. And I get that you have something that you can feel that desire inside of you that, hey, you know that there is more than to you than what you see in this existence at this particular time. So I think that's a little easier to digest, and we don't have to romanticize it with a whole lot of names and terms, and that will take away some of that energy, some of that pressure from you. So you don't feel like if you find out this information, you're going to die, because information is exactly what it is. Finding out who you are is about bringing you back to your wholeness, not about tearing you apart or making you even feel like you're going to go crazy.
Well, I mean, I guess for me, death is not, maybe I said it the wrong way. I really mean in more of a transition of going to another stage of myself. It'll be a death to this version of me. I guess that's what
we die and come back alive every 24 to 48 hours. So, yeah. But, yes, it does happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you want to find out about this drawing you keep drawing, or you want to find out what?
I guess I would say, you know, I have a lot of curiosity about past life experiences at this point. That's just something that I've been led to, and I've actually been reading a book about it, and I wanted to actually do it on myself.
I don't want to know what you've tried that didn't work.
I haven't yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you want to try it, then certainly you wouldn't be calling me.
Right.
The first thing that has to happen is that you have to really come from a place of honesty and being authentic. That's the key. You know, about what the real reason is you want to know this. You know, that's for you. That's not for me, Miss Blue.
Right.
It's not for anybody. I want you to look at the real reason why you want to know this. Because all of these other things that you've put before yourself is not the real reason. That's not why you want to know. You and I both know that. If you could read a book and do this shit, we wouldn't be talking. There would not be the thing that we call all of these different systems. If it was just that easy to do, then everybody would read a book and do it.
That's true.
So it has to be something else. It has to be so much something else. And it's a lot of things that are happening with you at this particular moment. And you are having what I call a DNA explosion happening with you right now. So your Kundalini energy is literally waking your ass up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You are going through a transformation. Give me 1 second because we're about to go through to the after hours, and I just want to kind of let everybody know, 646-652-2711, if you want to hang in and go a little bit into the after hours, you need to be on the phone lines. Download, download, download. I would love to hear what you guys think about the show. I'm going to post some pictures in the Remix Family page on Facebook, so I'll be over there very shortly for us to talk about Nancy, Peter, James, Andrew, the whole family. Much love, warm spirit. Ashe to the ancestors. Peace and love to all of you guys out there. And you know what to do. Download, download, download. So we're going to keep going, you guys. Much love, warm spirit, as we continue here live in the Remix. So that's the thing that I want you to think about. You know, the main thing that has been missing from your life, Darren, is you're missing a lot of nurturing. You haven't got a lot of love and nurturing in your life. But you're about to get more than your share of that. That's what I'll say. That's what I'll say.
Yeah,
that's what I'll say. That I want you to start looking at, first of all, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. So you need to know that. And I don't say that in a cliche statement. I'm talking about for real. Because right now, as we speak, you think there's something wrong with you.
It does feel like there might be something missing. You know, I guess I try to look and find and see if there is something that I can find, because it's...
No, there's nothing missing, and there's nothing wrong with you. There's absolutely nothing for you searching for greater understanding of who you are as well. In fact, that's a big part of your work of coming back here. But you're looking. You know how they say you're looking in the wrong place? You're looking all in the wrong places for the wrong reasons. And so you're not going to be able to see what you need to see.
Where should I look? I mean, if there's nothing to find, what?
No. I didn't say there was nothing to find. I said you're not going to find it now, not the way you're looking.
Okay. Not the way I'm looking. Okay.
No, but you already know that. That's why you're here looking. I mean, that's not rocket science.
Yeah.
If you could have found it, shit, you'd have found it and moved on to the next thing.
So I should look toward nurturing aspects of life.
No, don't look towards nurturing. You have missed being nurtured in love in your and loved in your life. That is a component that you have felt that has been missing. Isn't that true?
That's very true.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So what I'm saying to you is, let's take that and begin to bring that into harmony. Use this Kundalini energy that you have and turn those eyes that you have, those beautiful eyes, because the brother got beautiful eyes, sisters. He got some.
What?
He got them eyes that they say, don't look in his eyes. He got them kind of. Don't look in his eyes. Don't look at him in the eyes.
Wow.
He got them kind of eyes. And turn those eyes inward. And enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. All the things that you need to know are going to come to you when you need to know. But right now, at this time, really, and this is me communicating with your higher self, that this has a lot to do with just really loving on yourself more, really getting in touch with that. And that's what's going to open up doors for you. Right now, you're trying to force it. I see so much life force energy pouring out the back of your second energy center. And one of the things that you can do, and I'll just kind of take a look if you don't mind right now and just kind of push some of that as we're talking, that energy is slowing itself down. But one of the things you can do is take your hand, and I want you to place it by tapping on your sternum bone. And I want you to focus all the way down to the bottom of your back, like your lower back, and just say, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Use that focus. Do that a couple of times a day. That's going to help to pull that life force energy back inside of your body for you. And you're surrendering to your higher self, because what's happening for you now, it's kind of like showing up at the bus stop 15 minutes late and the bus is on time. Your timing is off. Your timing is way off. And a lot of that has to do with your relationship with your father. And I know that makes sense to you.
Well, yeah, that did basically throw off a lot of things I wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, now it's time for you to love on yourself a little bit. And that's not forever. It's not for the rest of your life. But this is really where your energy is calling you. To just kind of being open to surrendering to yourself and stop trying to force your will, because it's not working. So why do it? You're just throwing away good life force energy. You're throwing away good chi. You're just wasting it. It's just floating out into the ethers. Nobody's picking it up. Nobody's doing anything with it. It's just floating out there. And you're draining yourself. You're burning yourself up from the inside in.
Thank you.
All right. Well, peace and love to you. And don't look in his eyes, girls. Don't look in his eyes. Well, peace and love. Let me know how it goes, and you'll know the right time to either email me or call back in, and we can talk about that reading then.
All right, for sure. Thank you.
All right. Peace and love. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code, let me see. Oh, it is so many of you guys on the phone line. Wow. Okay, let me see where I'm going. Hold on, I didn't got lost here. Give me a minute. I'm looking for... Okay, we're going to go to the caller calling in from area code 438. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello, greetings.
Hello?
Who's on the line, please? Yes, hello.
This is the show in the forum, calling from Montreal. Are you
greetings? Down I'm wonderful. Greetings, the show.
I'm so nervous.
Why?
Out of being, you know, the million of listeners and all, just makes me a little nervous. First time I've ever called into somewhere, so.
Well, we are glad to have you, the show. You're always in chat, and you got a lot to say in chat.
I usually do. Yeah.
Don't look in the chat room. Just do me a favor.
Looking at the chat room. I'm looking right there. I'm looking right now.
No, don't look. Do not.
I'm watching. I see everybody. But yeah. So I guess I'm gonna share that dream that I told you I had, mm-hmm. and the meaning that I got from it, and then I'm gonna ask you what you think of it, and then, you know, follow up questions if you don't mind.
Okay.
So the dream I had, I was walking around in a building, and it was a circular building, kind of shaped like a donut. And in the center was this black pillar of energy, and it's going straight from the bottom, like underground, straight into space. So the building was designed like, as I walk around, it looked like you were outside, but you were in a building. So there were stores, houses, and stuff. And I was on the phone, and basically, it was like the world, except it was in a building, and I was just walking around in a circle. And I was actually my thought train was about women. So I was kind of thinking about the different girls that I was calling and whoever I was dealing with or whatever the case may be. And I got a call from you. And you called me and you told me that I need to stop doing what I'm doing. So I said, what do you mean? And you pretty much told me that I need to, you know, stop chasing all these women that I was chasing. And I was like, yeah. I woke up and I was like, what does this mean? Why isn't this blue calling me? You know, whatever. And then when you did the show with Dietrich, Brother Dietrich.
Yes.
Oh, I'm just looking.
Don't look in the chat room. They will throw you off. Don't look at them. Y'all leave him alone.
So when you did the show with Brother Dietrich, I found myself getting really angry as you talked about the millionaires and the billionaires. And I couldn't understand why I was so upset because, well, I'm usually a relaxed person. I'm a passionate person, but, you know, kind of relaxed. And so I started to fall the feeling down and try to find out where the emotion was coming from. And mm-hmm. I guess you could say that the texture of the emotion that I was feeling was kind of extremely similar to the texture of the energy that was in the center in the dream. And while we were talking, the meaning of the dream just came through because in my life I felt like when I get to the center of what's been driving me in my life so far, it's really been a really strong energy of achievement and overcoming. And I've done some things where I've made a lot of progress and I've gotten to an area where I guess it's much different than the way that I grew up, where, you know, some people would say it's a come up. And mm-hmm. I think I got comfortable. And, you know, chasing women was a part of that comfort. And I believe that it was just my spirit telling me, and using the show and using your presence and the respect I have for you on the show, to let me know, like, you need to get back to that center energy, that center drive that's been carrying you in your life all this time. And not just get back to it, but take what you've learned so far reaching this point, because I just became quote-unquote conscious about 2 years ago. And it was just letting me know that from what I've gained from consciousness and from the community and from the different leaders like Bobby Hammond and Malachi York and Ray Higgins and all the different people that I've listened to get me to the point where I am now, that I need to wrap all that up and bring it back into that center energy that has driven me so far to kind of, you know, finish off what I've started. Mm-hmm. So me saying that, what do you think?
I think that is beautiful, and I love the way that you were able to really kind of process that, especially when you were talking about in the dream. So remember, there's many different levels to the dream. Of course, there's one component of the dream where you explained it so beautifully here that everything in the dream is you. So it will use different parts of yourself for different people. So, for instance, me, I kind of played the role of your higher self by saying, hey, what are you doing? Better stop talking to all these women. You better get yourself back together. You better get that. Because really in the first level of understanding the dreams, and we've done shows about this too in the archive, is that everything in the dream is you. From a can of soda, from a car, it represents a different aspect of who you are, and be able to play this out. The beautiful thing about dreams is that you don't have to decode it. You know, it's good that we can, but you don't have to, because your subconscious mind is decoding it already. Your higher self is decoding it. But you did an excellent job of really, pulling out that meaning for yourself. And I agree with you that that's it. And then there's a universal level. So a lot of times when we're dreaming, when we're sleeping and we're doing that, we really are doing work and we're going other places. When you started to talk about the building and how round it was and smoke was coming up through it and you were kind of walking around and I called you on the phone and was talking to you, and that looking outside of the window there, it was like you were inside of a world
with inside of the inside the building that was circular. This is very familiar to me because a few years prior to Apple Corporation in California, Steve Jobs had a vision. And interesting enough, I used to work for Apple back in the day when Steve Jobs was still a part of Apple. And that vision that he had of that building, which is the building you described, that circular building there where it is basically a world within itself. And out near Silicon Valley right now, the blueprints have already been approved for this circular building to be built. And it is a very futuristic building. Well, in several of my dreams, I've had this particular dream being in that building. And so, but it wasn't here on the planet Earth. It was in another place, on another planet. And so that exists. That is a real dimension. And you were in that dimension, and I have been in that dimension many of times. I have even spoken with Brother Bilal and Esther and quite a few other people. We have all been in that dimension doing work in that particular place. That particular place is represented by a school. In fact, you guys may remember there was a show that I did a while back where I taught a class in the astral realm, and that was where the class was taught. Now, until now, of you coming on, I didn't reveal where the class was, but who was present in that class was Brother Wayne Chandler. He actually showed up in the Astro to teach a class there. And many people posted on Facebook different things that they saw during that class, because I teach class in the astral realm. But this was actually in a whole nother dimension. So on one level, you took from it what you need here, which is what we're supposed to do, but also recognize that you were actually in a class inside what you called another world. It was another world because it wasn't here on Earth. It was in another dimension, and you were taking a class there, and so in between class, you decided to try to go back and do some human shit, like call up some girls. And you were reminded that you ain't got time for that. You got work to do. What are you doing? Stop it. So I think this is real magical and very beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So next question. I only have a few more. I don't want to hold up the line. Another question I have is, for me right now, I feel that I'm a very innovative person, and I want to get into writing and expression. And mm-hmm. I just want to ask you, like, from my energy, what kind of person do you see me as, and, like, my skill being here on the planet, where a lot of my strength is, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, one of your biggest strengths for you is listening. You are a fantastic listener. That's actually magic for you. And let me tell you why. Because you have the ability to process things from a higher frequency than rather just take it into your brain when you're listening. Now, when you're not listening, you're a terrible listener. But when you choose to be in that space, to really be open without judgment and listen, because true hearing does not come in through our ears, it comes in through our heart. And so you are very heart-centered. And so definitely any of the writing that you do, you will literally be able to write a paragraph and a person can get healed from your words. So a lot of your magical work will come through scribing, of being sort of a modern day scribe. The brother, Siba Haru Al-Kabulon, that is over the Hetepu Network, is a Kemetic scribe, a modern day scribe. His temple that he owns, and that he works with brothers and sisters all over the world. And that's kind of how I see your energy as a scribe, as a modern-day scribe. You're able to listen. Because, see, when you're truly listening, you hear what is not being said as opposed to the words being spoken.
Okay, I definitely agree with that. I definitely felt as though like writing was my main thing that I was going to get into.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Another thing is
that's good. That's good.
Another thing is, and this is probably like some cliche questions. What soul level am I? How many spirit guides do I have? Those are the questions. All the.
So let me get this straight. You were so nervous to call in, but you had a whole bucket list.
I've been listening for a while. You know, I've been planning. I've been planning for when I get my shot. You know. But this is just one time.
Wait a minute. What the brother tell us his mama say? What's the saying he said? Kalaka. What is it? Y'all help me out.
I think it was kalakalaka.
Kalakalaka. We gotta say kalakalaka. Okay, so you want to know what level soul you are. You are definitely a level 3 soul that's coming back here. And so the beautiful thing about level 3 souls is that they're not afraid to experiment. That's there. Again, level 3 souls also sometimes, you guys, you know, your soul group is big on finding sort of a cause to rebel behind. So I could even see you being that person to find some of these things that are happening here on the planet and just bring light to them through your writing and really expose it and show people so that they can begin to see things from a whole nother perspective.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you want to know how many spirit guides that you have. Currently right now, the number of spirit guides that you have with you is 9. You have 9 spirit guides with you. And 9, your spirit guides are here. And the reason you have 9, and you actually have a gateway that's opening around you at this time, because whenever 9 spirit guides show up, and particularly when 9 show up and there's a gateway that's opening up with the 9, it's really here to let you know that who you're truly working for. And at this particular time for you, you're working for the universe. So this is
what exactly does that mean?
Yes, of course, I'm going
to. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. You're working for the universe, meaning that the energy and the things that you're doing is really for the collective conscious. So whether you're writing or what you're doing, that's going to be more of where your energy is. It's called working for the universe, and it's to be of service. That's basically what it is, to help humanity evolve themselves. And the first person in humanity that has to help evolve themselves is you. But you're really working at a universal level at this time. So the things that you're aspiring to do, even when it comes to your writing and these type of things, even though, of course, you're going to be the first person that is impacted by it and where the reflection is going to be, but it's also meant for a universal level. You're working for the collective conscious. So this would be works that also impact everybody else in your soul group.
Well, thanks a lot. You know, that really does go along with what I felt. And yeah, definitely goes along with what I felt. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So that's it. I really appreciate everything.
Likewise,
I'll go
and
back
peace
to
and love to you. Thanks for calling in. Peace and love. Hold the line. Thanks for sharing. That was beautiful. We're going to go to Badula. I believe that's on the line. I think he's calling from Amsterdam.
It's Abuba.
Oh, yes.
Hello?
Abuba. Yes, greetings.
Booba. Greetings. How are you doing, Miss Blue?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. And it was a very touching show. There was a lot of stuff. I was listening with my girlfriend in the beginning. She fell asleep at some point. But there was a lot of stuff in that story that really reminded me of us, like this whole vision thing. And she's like the spiritual one, and I'm trying to not guide things, but seeing a vision. And now I'm like more into my own transformation time. And last time I called, I was like I had this question about what was coming up for me. Mm-hmm. And I basically got inspired by this last caller. He asked it about what was his, for who he was working for. And while I was listening to the show, I was also watching the Grammy winning of the beautiful actress that won the Grammy for 12 Years of Slavery. And I'm basically between a filmmaker and an artist, and I write a lot of stuff. I write a lot of stories, but I also make music. And now I'm just in this moment that I really want to know exactly, like, okay, what is the thing that I can really focus on? What can you see in my chart or spirit that is really guiding me to where I can get all these stories out, or at least I can give it to somebody that can work with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, here's a couple of things that I want to say to you, and thank you so much for calling in, and I'm so glad you enjoyed the information that Nancy was just so gracious to bestow upon me to put out for herself and her family, Peter, and just everyone, Andrew and James and all of them. So thank you so much for that. But you're really, this is where I see you. I see you looking over a balcony, and I see you looking out, and the night sky is there. And this is about all of the opportunities that are available for you, because you have so many different opportunities that are available for you and so many different directions that you can begin to move into. The one thing that I will say to you is that you have a lot of your tools that you need now. It's about you putting yourself in the position that you can start a spiritual practice and start to look at the things that call to your spirit the most, you know, that call to the spirit inside of you the most. And so that's going to be a lot of what goes on. When it comes to your writing and doing that, because I know how innovative you are, I love your work. I love your girlfriend's work. I love both of you guys are amazing.
Thank you.
I love you guys' work, and it's so powerful. The
Thank
thing
you.
That I want to tell you when it comes to your writing and putting these things in, it's about really also keeping yourself connected with like minds. That's going to be powerful for you. And those that you know that are there to definitely support you. I would like for you to do this, definitely, because, you know, myself and Brother Bilal, and we have a whole team, there's a lot of brothers and sisters that are working on different inventions. And if you could contact us, send me an email, shoot me an email, maybe we can set up a time and we can talk to you about how you can begin to put some things in place. The reason I say that is because the show is about to cut off. I will give you this, is that this is your time for opportunities are all in front of you. And a lot of the tools, myself, I've given to you, and I know you called in before and talked about the reading, Brother Bilal did. So we're going to show you how to begin to implement them, because you're in the place now for you to begin to move forward. What I want you to focus on is just being open to where you are, to receiving. That's it.
Okay.
Because that's your biggest challenge, is you're real good. You're excellent at giving. You are one of the most loving and giving people there are. But you're horrible at receiving shit. So we got to kind of get you in a place where you can receive. And right now, it's kind of like you just want to keep pouring out and not taking something in. So receiving is even about that feedback. Take your hand and place it on your solar plex chakra, which is going to be, place it on the chakra. Let's go to this energy center. That's just below your belly button. And I want you to place it there. Place it right there. Take your dominant hand and place it there. And I want you to just kind of drop down inside your body into that particular space. Drop down into that. And I want you to ask the question. I played the song at the beginning, Happy by Pharrell.
And I want you to begin to start to flirt with this. This is an exercise that myself and a lot of the priestess we did. And it's a powerful exercise, and a lot of them are using it in their own individual practices as priestesses. I want you to put your hand there, and I want you to say, am I happy? And I want you to sit with that. And then I want you to ask, am I happy with my work? Am I happy with my relationship? Am I happy with my environment? Am I happy with whatever? Fill in the blanks. And I want you to begin to listen, listen, listen. Go within, go inside of your body. And anyone out there listening can do this too. But go inside your body, and I want you to begin to feel that happiness so that you can understand, know what feeling happy feels like when you're inside of your body. Because now your happiness is kind of distorted because you're looking externally. And I want you to know what it feels like when you're inside your body and you feel happiness. And then I want you to go to that space of happiness at least 3 or 4 times a day and just say, okay, am I happy? And you will be able to feel it. And you will go from am I happy to I'm happy. And once you do that, what happens? It sends out an electromagnetic current that goes out into your body. And so almost like being struck by lightning, it hits all of your energy centers. And that energy centers begin to push that energy out. And this golden blue electric light will start to fuel that coral that's at the base of your pelvic, which is where the kundalini energy begins to make its rise. It is a blue light that starts to begin to coral itself up, and it begins to start pushing itself out into the fifth layer of your auric field. The fifth layer of your auric field will then send that out into the universe. And so that's how you recode yourself. That's how you change sort of that spiritual DNA with inside of you. And even on a spiritual level, it will, that magnetic force will become so powerful the more you do it, it literally can change your DNA.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
And just talking to you, your light is kind of like, you know, it's almost like we in the club.
Yeah.
It's like we in the club. I see you just, that blue light is flashing all over the place, all over there. So don't wake the neighbors, because what time is it, and where are you at? In Amsterdam, what time is it?
It's almost 7 o'clock. Oh, almost 8 o'clock. It's 7:30.
In the morning?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's a real remix listener, trooper there. Well, big love to you guys over there. But I want you to work with that. Shoot me an email, and we'll talk. But do that exercise a couple of times a day, and just feel that energy as it begins to go through you. But you are in the perfect place. You are in the perfect place right now.
And what did you mean with setting up, you say before setting up something?
Just send me an email. Just, you know, let me know it's you and that we talk, and setting up a time for us to speak so we can really kind of help you put those things in place for yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, peace and love to you guys. Peace and love.
Peace.
Well, that was beautiful. Certainly, I don't know about you guys, but I certainly have enjoyed the share here tonight, and I really want to hear you guys' story. If it's not too late, because I know at different parts of the world, the brother just told us it's about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning where he is, and some of the other people where you guys have called in from around the world, it's just all kinds of things. But I want you to go over to Facebook. I want you to go over to Facebook, and don't worry, we'll be talking with the ancestors more, because they are coming through in a very big way and have been all this year. So I have many, many different stories that they are telling me, hey, Miss Blue, we need you to definitely we need you to definitely get this message out to the people so that we can begin to use this and have a greater understanding. I definitely would encourage everybody to go back and listen to the show with the Brother Dietrich, Spiritual E-Commerce, because there is a divine connection between that and the show we did here tonight, as with all the remix shows, and just kind of see how that is. But I want you guys to go over to Facebook. I'm going to post a picture of Nancy and Peter and the family so you guys can see that as well. And I want you to share your thoughts about tonight's show, talking with Nancy and everything she had to communicate about her family, about her life, about Green Apples, the work she did, and just the love she had for her family and her people. And, of course, about Nigga Hill, what's really going on about that. And if you yourself live in that area, like the sister who called in, and you have something you want to share about that, we love to hear from you guys. So go over to the Remix Radio page. All you have to do is click like, and once you click like, you'll be definitely over there where you can get that. Well, until then, you guys, stay warm, stay hot, stay cool, stay in harmony, stay in love. Much love to you guys. Peace and blessings to you. Download, download, download. Make sure that you let me know what you think about talking with the ancestors and the story about Nancy. So peace and love to you guys. Much love, warm spirit. And we're going to get out of here for now.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. Friends.